Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
I administer the test more than the instructor.
He beats them.
What I was picturing.
Do you beat the rest of them?
Be honest. So for the kid, it's most people aren't really allowed to test unless they're kind of ready already. But
so you've only kind of beat their asses.
We kind of know what to expect. The kids, they, unlike other schools, we don't emphasize forms a ton because you don't get a lot of skill out of the forms. They're just a sequence that you memorize. You might as well learn a dance. So they're important for certain reasons, and we do go over them, we do review them, we do test forms a little bit. But the bulk of the test is, working with someone else to, then put you in a grab and you try to escape from it. You hit bags and pads, you demonstrate the skills you actually have earned over time. The adults is a little more of a torture session. This time around, I had the idea of using a slip rope. So set up a slip rope, got a slip under, and then do one particular technique when you get out of the slip, and then we would do different slip rope techniques. So slip jab, then slip jab cross.
Wait, are you talking? You're talking a rope horizontally?
A rope thing horizontally across.
You're not talking like a bag,
not a double-ended bag, not the.
No. There's the other way that I've seen slipping done is you have a bag, like a small weighted bag, hanging from the ceiling. Around chest high, and you push it forward, and it swings.
And as
it
comes back, you slip.
Yeah, you slip.
We don't have one of those, so I took a rope, put it across a couple bags.
It hits you in the back of the head a few times.
The idea with the slip rope is you're not supposed to touch the rope as you slip, and you kind of do that for...
So they electrify the rope to make sure you don't touch it.
I assumed that the rope was lava, when you're kids.
You do each slip rope drill for a minute. And then you do partner drills where one person punches the other person blocks and the other person is kicking and hitting pads and bags. So after a half hour of that stuff, they're exhausted. And then we do their forms. And for some people, this time around, they were testing for their second or third degree black belt. So they have to do 20 minutes for the third degree, probably about half an hour straight of forms without stopping. So they're just dead by the time it's over. And we're good, okay, we're done. Everybody have a good day.
Weapons and everything?
Yeah, weapons, empty hand stuff for the degrees. There's two-person sets, so you have to do a form with another person that simulates a fighting sequence.
Is that weapon forms with another person?
Yes.
Nice.
And the person that was testing
for
that...
What combos are we talking here?
There's only two for the degree program. There are many others that you can learn later.
So we don't have a hook sword guy versus a nine-sectional whip guy?
Staff versus staff, and for fourth degree, which I did in June, it's... Double broadswords versus spear. So one person's trying to spear you and you're blocking it.
So it's Killick versus...
Warong, but with two swords.
That's some real Bleach shit right there.
It's fun.
Warong Sun Yung was seriously wounded.
But the soul still burns.
Nice.
So for third degree, there was only one person testing for third degree. Usually you test in pairs, so you have a partner to do that other form. Yeah. So I have to jump in and be the other side. So I was participating in that stuff. But we started at 9:30... And with each of the age groups and all the scheduling, we don't finish till 12:30. So it was 9:30 or 12:30, and then we have a staff meeting to kind of debrief and feedback what the stuff that kind of went wrong and logistically and kind of improve the process the next time.
Is it pretty much a foregone conclusion that by the time you're allowed to test, you're pretty much going to pass? Or
nah, we give everyone a progress report when they're done, and we rate them excellent, satisfactory, unsatisfactory. Let's say if you're a kid, you have four different skills or concepts you have to demonstrate plus your form. Of those five things, if you get two unsatisfactories, you don't get your belt. We did it once earlier.
So do you have a lot of crying kids?
Yeah, when they think they did real bad and it's kind of borderline and we have to kind of huddle over. Today there was one of those situations and there was a kid crying, sitting down waiting for the test to finish. Everything was done and we were conversing about what to do.
I guess I don't understand why you would shit. It's you just do it again.
Yeah, they don't understand kids, failure. Right? They don't know how to deal with failure like that. To them, that's the end of the world. Most of the kids, they progress linearly. They don't have setbacks like that. They just keep increasing. because if they're diligent about it. And so when there's a kid that doesn't have that and they just fail and they have to start over, that's a good lesson for them, but it's counter to what the rest of their peer group is doing. So, but that kid in particular is a black belt testing for a degree pin. Like, you have to get 4 pins to test for your degree when you're a kid. Even when you're an adult, but adults tend to skip the pin process a lot. It's expected that you're not going to be perfect. Like, the complexity of what you have to do is much higher. So
he was being hard on himself rather than...
Yeah, and okay. Most kids that get to black belt, if they get that far, they are kind of a high achiever, and they do you know, beat themselves up a little bit. And, you know, some of it's they deserve it, and some of it's a little too much, and we kind of have to scope it right, so we always have to have a powwow with them afterwards and make sure they're cool and all that jazz. But it's not a guarantee you'll pass.
No, for sure. Times. I mean, you wouldn't want that, right? That would be rubber stamp.
There needs to be some teeth to the process.
Sure,
for sure,
sure.
But the people
guys
get freaking exhausted.
Fist, in other words.
Yeah, you get tired. People get pretty sweaty at the end. They fogged up the door as it was like window in the front. They fogged it up right nice. Good by the end.
Nice.
So, excellent. Yeah. Good times.
My day was much less exciting.
Packing up.
You found a mixtape. That's
I did find a mixtape.
I saw your tweets of the
fucking mixtape dissing my car. Of course, it was right because now the reason I rode my motorcycle here is because
the car.
The Celica is, I wouldn't say it's broken.
It will never die.
But... let me put it this way. I'm going to conserve its remaining life for when I really need it to move something. If it's just me getting around, it's going to be the motorcycle for the next week or so. Because, man, I think it's the AC clutch bearing. Well, the AC clutch melted, like, in July, so I haven't had AC in the car, which sucked. But
yeah,
I was like,
July.
I'm not spending $1,000 for... to fix the AC in a $200 car.
Yeah, you get one of those fans, you just put a suction cup at the end.
Yeah. Stick it to the... I just opened all the windows, and I just, like, drove fast. And I tell you, it is miserable not having AC in the summer in Texas.
So, in case
any of you were wondering, that sucked ass. But I felt it was a noble thing. It wasn't really July either. It was more like August. But, I'm saving this money for something else. And, you know, this sweat is going to, you know, build character. It didn't build any character at all. That was bullshit. But I am cheap. So now I have a car with no AC. And also, since the clutch melted, I've been, like, worrying that, you know, something else would go wrong. And, in fact, something else has gone wrong. So I think the bearing in the AC clutch is going. So, like, when you start the car, you hear this. And, like... It's just, it's coming.
It's purring, it's happy.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So, is it still the Celica, which, don't get me wrong, I like it being the, but shouldn't it have a name at this point?
We gave it a name. It was the Wobdenberg Mark II.
That's right. Mark II.
Yeah, Mark I was the red pickup truck that exploded.
Oh, that's right.
Was that the first? I thought it was the other way around. I thought this one
maybe
was
you're
the...
right. It was, the Celica is the Mark I. I apologize.
Yeah, I've had the Celica longer.
Mark I.
I've had that's the Celica. Cool. That Celica is I don't think... I'm trying to think of... I have one other possession that I am for sure I have had longer than the Celica.
The mixtape.
No. I've had the Celica longer than that mixtape. That mixtape dates from 99 or 98.
What else is on there? I'm curious. You got some Creed
Jesus.
On there?
No. There's like this is a mixtape a girl made for me. Okay, so there's like some Tracy Chapman on there and some shit. So I'm like fast forwarding through that shit. I'm like, all right, what else is on here? Some Adam Sandler. I'm like, yeah, I'll listen to this. And then fucking Piece of Shit Car comes on next. Fucking bullshit.
Cool,
but actually, End of the World as We Know It by REM was on it. That was like the second song that came up as I was like. I haven't listened to a cassette in fucking forever. I put it in and it's like
making that hissing noise when it starts.
Yeah, it's. And I'm like, yeah, I'm liking this already. And the first one was like a Smash Mouth song. And I was like, oh, okay, I can put up with that. And then some REM, a bunch of Adam Sandler, some, like I said, Tracy Chapman. I don't know. God. There was probably some
cassette
Dixie Chicks
tapes.
On there. But
Dixie
dude, fucking cassette tapes kind of rule. I gotta tell you.
I understand the nostalgia there. Yeah. It's not going to beat out just, I want this song. I'm going to go to the internet and get it.
Mm.
But
oh, yeah. No, I had forgotten completely about the fact that, like, fast-forwarding to the next track is a non-trivial operation
with
a cassette tape. I was like, I want to listen next thing, I hit the fast forward button and it's going for a while.
Oh, yeah, shit.
So I punch it again and now I'm in the middle of like the third song down. And
awesome. I would have forgotten that as well. I'd forgotten to see you just reminded me. I was like, oh yeah, you don't can't seek on a damn cassette track.
Well, you know, they did something eventually where like you know they'd keep the read head in contact while it's fast forwarding, and then it's like watching for like when the sound goes away and it'll stop there, but like it'll stop at like soft it'll stop at like quiet spots in songs and shit. So not particularly reliable. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that note, welcome to what's probably going to be the final episode of Fallen Sound and Fury podcast for 2013. I'm Cyrus Mordozavi. You can check out most of my stuff at my hub site, fanbasecomics.com. In studio, back from making children cry, is Ariel Rodriguez.
What's up?
Hey, they paid him to do it, okay? That's only fair.
And you know...
Or their parents did.
To,
I mean...
To put my promotional hat on for a second, you know... That's part of the process of maturity that we offer you as a service to the parents of those children.
So wait, this is maturity as a service?
It's
MAAS?
It's a growth and learning opportunity from which they get self-respect and confidence in the long run. In the short term,
I gotta break them down before I build them up. It's like clay.
Look, you provoke the reaction. It's like the clownfish. It has to poke its nose against the anemone until it builds up the resistance to the poison.
I mean, other martial arts schools, forget kung fu, any martial arts school, maybe a kid crying and the instructor will just be like, walk it off. At least we try to...
Do you provide a bucket of dirt so that when they hurt themselves,
they can just
rub
it on?
Rub some dirt in it.
We never had a kid hurt. Never had a kid hurt in a test, anything like that. Never happened. I've been doing tests for 2.5 years and my instructor's been doing it for decades. Never had a kid.
Feels like you should bend your business cards.
I mean, it's not
no
what it's
child
about.
Proven track record.
Yeah, it's not what it's about. You know, it's not what it's about.
No child left bleeding.
You know, you break boards. You have places that break boards and stuff like that, which, whatever, great, breaking a board. You know, splinters and people get cut and punching things really hard and in ways they're not supposed to. You know, injuries happen. Never seen it in our school. Anyway.
Also in the studio, rather, and down to one vehicle is Riyad Wabi.
Well, I mean, I have a bicycle, too. I'm just not going to come on. I have rollerblades. Shit, I forgot about those. That doesn't really count as
a... See, like the tumbler in the
I've
Dark Knight.
I've got a pogo ball somewhere. What the hell?
Like the tumbler in the Dark Knight, the Celica has to turn into a smaller vehicle, and like it self-destructs the chassis that
nice.
Doesn't work.
A wobbly pod.
Yeah. It's got to say, like, goodbye, and then, like, you launch out of it. Into like a smaller Celica or something.
Yeah, I actually want the smaller car to just rip through the roof and windshield of the other. I just want it to like
it's
alien
just,
style.
It's just the trunk with two wheels, and somehow it just goes.
And I've been saving up all the Shockley hair for all this time. It's actually a corgi. There's hair glued to it, and it's like...
What was that vodka that had the robo dogs? That's what it would be. It's a little robo corgi.
Wow. Nice.
You just balance precariously on one.
No, I'm riding with a trident in the other hand. I'm like, ah! Because obviously a trident is what you have on a corgi, right?
Yeah, sure.
Or maybe a sling. Maybe that would work.
Oh, there we go.
I think you had it right the first time. No, trident and a net. You need both.
Oh, the net and trident, of course.
You got two hands.
A well-known combo.
It's like, we're going to miss him, mention him rather, and we're going to miss him too, in absentia. Keyshawn, what's the last name this week? How about Gronkowski, given that he's having back surgery?
Yeah.
I think it's going well, although his Twitter feed would suggest he just passed out, so worried about that.
Man, but, yeah, he posted something about passing out because they forgot about him in some x-ray, and they left him hanging literally on a bar, and like he just had to let go eventually, and he just collapsed on the floor and passed out.
So he should have come to your guys' place. You could have just Dark Knighted it right back in the spot.
Yeah, that works so well in the
Dude,
prison.
There was a fucking great...
And you're like, we haven't killed anybody here ever.
It's cool.
There was a great... Oh, okay, I remember what it was. This I might have told this story before on this podcast, and it's not even my story, it's Steve-O's story, but it's relevant, I promise. So there's this YouTube series of, like, I don't even remember what it's called. It's like the weirdest thing ever or best time ever. I don't fucking... It doesn't matter. And they get some person to tell them some weird story that happened to them. And there's one where Steve-O is talking about how when they were filming one of the Jackass movies, He broke, like, something happened. He got hit in the face with a giant hand or something, you know, one of those things. And he broke his nose. And he never went to the doctor, whatever. It healed kind of crooked and funny. And, so, like, his nose was broken and crooked, whatever. So then I think it's, like, the roast of Mike Tyson. I think Steve-O is at this roast. And at some point he decides he wants to get punched by Mike Tyson. So, like, Mike Tyson just holds out his fist. And Steve-O runs into it and slams his nose slams his face, his nose in particular, breaks his nose again. And some dude who's, like, just attending the roast, like, stands up and is like, look, I'm a martial arts instructor. I've seen a lot of people have their noses broken. Your nose is broken. Let me fix it real quick. And so this guy, like, just comes over and sets his nose for him. And then it heals and, like, his nose is fixed again. Wow. So Mike Tyson and some random, I don't know, I'm going to imagine Kung Fu guy. This is you in the future traveling back in time.
Okay.
So Ari and Mike Tyson fixed Steve-O's nose. And somehow so really what we should have had was Key here. And then, like, Ari could have just kicked him in the back. And it would have been fine. Yeah.
Just like in Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Just,
you know, that worked out well for everybody.
Yeah. Except Bane.
Well, right.
And you could have done the ultimate, wait, the Supreme Killer move, isn't that what he was called, the Supreme Killer?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, just break him over your knee.
God. But, I mean, fix him over your knee is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by the idea of Mike Tyson's rhinoplasty, though. That's nice.
Being of time travel, someone, I guess this has, like, been a meme on the internet, but I'd never heard of it before. I thought it was brilliant. It's like, what do we want? Time travel. When do we want it? It doesn't matter.
Nice. Really nice.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, but, you know, I mean, it's funny, but I got to take issue with it. I want it when I can be the one traveling, not the one traveled to. And I guess if they bring it to me, then that's fine, but that implies that now I'm the traveler again. So I want it soon enough that I don't die before I can't be the traveler anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that.
I kind of followed that.
Yeah, that was what ran through my head, to be honest.
The, like, transmit actually, and receive. I want to be on the transmit end.
Also, I want to not be dead before I get the time travel. That's really the most important thing.
I do not want my dead body traveling around
through time.
Unless that's some sort of
that. Just going back to what we talked about last episode, that's almost like something that would be on Hard Sci-Fi Movies. That Twitter,
dude, there was like a great one. There's a great one. Recently, what the hell? It was like a man takes a potent combination of drugs to gain superpowers. He is stripped of his Tour de France medals. Yeah. Nice. Nice. Sorry, Lance.
He's not.
Nah, whatever. He's not giving back the money. He's giving back the medals. They're just medals.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't think of it that way.
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe Cheryl Crow does.
Oh.
I don't. They're not a thing anymore. Like for like,
no,
5 years.
No, she got cancer and he left her.
Oh, wow.
I like them apples.
Solidifying his status as a son of a bitch of the century.
Well, wait a second. He already fought cancer once. Maybe he and cancer made a deal where if cancer left him alone, he would never bother it again.
Maybe. That's my story. I think his excuse was, like, to her, was like, sorry, I just don't have the balls to deal with this right now.
I'm not strong enough. Damn. I'm not strong enough to be your man.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, that's true. Sheryl Crow had a career at one point. She doesn't anymore. I don't know what the hell she does.
I wonder
now.
If that mixtape has some Sheryl Crow on it. That's entirely possible. I haven't gone through the whole thing yet. My car just decided to make too much noise. I had to turn off the radio and listen to it. I was fascinated by the grinding, screeching sound. So
maybe that was Sheryl Crow. Are you sure you turned it off?
Damn. Damn, that's cold.
That is pretty cold.
Nah, she's okay. She just, you know. She had, like, an album and she was out. Okay, well, this gets back to what we were talking about pre-show. I couldn't think of anything in 2013, music-wise, that's come out, except with a couple of exceptions. The Marshall Mathers LP Part 2, or whatever ridiculous name he gave.
I haven't actually listened to it. Is it good? Like,
it's very solid. It's not one of his better ones, but it's solid. It is good. Random Access Memories, obviously. Oh. 8 years in the making. I thought it paid off. I
listened through it once, only once. Am I the worst person? It's really decent. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, that sounds like I'm damning it with faint praise. I'm not intending to. It's good, but...
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it quite a bit, but... 2012, 2011, 2010, so much good shit came out.
True.
And this year, just kind of meh.
True.
I mentioned, have you guys heard of this band called Imagine Dragons? They play it on the radio.
Yes. Yeah, they're a 2012
They're a 2012 album?
Yep. Radioactive and then Demons in My Head, or whatever it's actually called, is a big one going right now.
Yeah, I thought, for some reason I thought they came out this year, but I guess maybe it's last year.
I'm trying to remember what other albums I bought this year. I haven't really been buying a... I mean, I mentioned that Gojira album, L'Enfant Sauvage, that's good. Right. Yeah. French metal named after a Japanese monster sung in English. Really awesome, though, honestly. Yeah, last year.
I like how multinational that is, though.
Right? Dude, there are some, actually, like, a couple, maybe, probably more than a couple, but, oh no, shit, that came out last year. Fuck!
Let me ask the Googles.
I was going to say, there are some seriously good French metal bands. Is that weird? Like...
Well, the French are weird in general.
Well, sure. Okay, fine. But, like, I don't really associate France with metal, and yet you've got... Like, Gojira is, like... I don't know what exactly the right genre there would be. Like, they have some, like, sludgy elements to them, I guess, but they're more, like... maybe, like, a melodic death metal kind of thing-ish? There's one. These guys who
are prog metal.
they are slightly. Yeah, they have some progressive. They definitely have some progressive elements. There's one band that is like way out there. It's clearly the weirdest metal band that I've ever listened to. Blut aus Nord. They're from France. They are awesome. It's like a little interesting to listen to. That like difficult to listen to. Like you have to get into it a little bit. It's not easy listening like most other metal. so
easy listening
like
most of the metal. Wow.
Yeah. Maybe Shai Hulud came out with an album this year that was pretty good, but that might have been last year.
Transformers. Nice. No, I'm sorry, what was the guy's actual name?
No, Shai Hulud, it's a reference to Dune, you know, the makers, the worms, right? Beyond the Sun. Nope. Yeah. Reach Beyond the Sun is 4 studio album, 2013. I mean, the problem there is it's metalcore, so like 2 or 3 of the songs are awesome, and then the rest of them sound like angry screaming. Because, it's metalcore, so.
Right.
People hate metalcore for some reason. I don't know. I'm on the fence about it. I enjoy listening to it, like, in the background, but I don't think I'd ever, like, really go to a metalcore album and be all. I mean, because it's like, I think you get the same audience that you get at, like, hardcore shows. Which is fine. Like, I've been to, in fact, this year I was at a hardcore festival that was awesome here in Austin called, it was mostly a hardcore thing. It was called Chaos and Tejas.
I did think of one that was good. Vampire Weekend's new one's good.
I never listened to it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I think I've heard one song from it. It seemed okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good album.
I love Oxford Comma.
Queens of the Stone Age.
Is that this year?
Yeah, this
year. That's a good album.
According to Complex.
I didn't remember that came out, but yeah. I thought that was 2012, but I'm wrong. That's a good album. And So It Goes is the name of that album or something like that?
I just passed it.
No, that's not quite right.
Like Clockwork.
Like Clockwork. And So It Goes is fucking Slaughterhouse 5 or something. No, it seriously is.
It's Kurt Vonnegut, yeah.
You know,
similar.
Vampire Weekend is on this list. Oh, guys, come on. Kanye had the...
Yeezus.
The aptly named Yeezus came out this
week. Is it good?
I don't know. I haven't actually had a chance to listen to it.
But I have not listened to it, but I have read Lou Reed's review of it. And his review is positively excellent. He actually likes the album.
Okay, too. That's cool.
But and then he also died. Sorry, Lou. his review, like Google it or something. It's worth reading. Like it's interesting to see his take on music and like what he thinks about when he's listening to albums and good stuff.
All right.
That was the number one album according to Complex.
Was it
Googling? Yeah, Kanye's.
Interesting.
Okay. So far. Didn't Muse have a new album this year?
Yes, they did.
Last year? Second Law was last year.
Last year?
Yeah.
Man.
It might even be late 2011, to be honest with you.
Coldplay, did they have an album?
They did have one, and I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. Viva La Vida was terrible. I'm just trying to think of, like, I hate it. I bought that album, and then the one good song on it got just worn out on the radio. Just fucking destroyed. And the rest of the album was bad. Like, bad. It was like Sam's Town bad.
I didn't have that big of a deal with either of those albums, but they aren't my favorite.
Man, Sam's Town made me so angry at the Killers because I bought that album and I was like, you know what? I bought a Killers album to like support them, but now I'm going to steal the actual good Killers album because this is terrible. So I just pirated their first album. Yeah, because if I had known, I wouldn't have bought the second album.
I thought the Coldplay album was last year, not this year. My time is all off.
I think it is this year. Milo Zylo.
So, okay, here's a fun tip for you and your listeners. maybe that's a bad way to put it. So you can often find full albums on YouTube, right? But the problem is that sometimes you don't want to, like, you want to bring them with you on your phone or whatever, right? So you get one of those YouTube downloader apps.
2011.
What? Which one?
Coldplay. Milo Zylo was 2011. Wow. All right,
well. I thought they had another one.
How much we didn't care. I thought they had
one. They had a live album in 2012. And that was the last album.
I thought it just came out.
Maybe it hasn't yet come out. But
that could be it.
There's a single for sure. Like, this is the last few weeks or months.
Yeah, and it's so bland.
Yeah, it seems like. So anyway, you get one of those YouTube downloaders, right? And then you get like 8 options of which version to download. So here's the tip. Go to Wikipedia. They have like a rundown of what every format means in the like YouTube parlance. And you can find the one that has like the highest quality audio and then strip the audio out and, you know, take it with you. So I've been sucking the internet dry like a Chinese hacker from Generals. China Inc. Sweet. Video games. What was good this year in video games?
Saints Row 4.
All right, we have to go one episode without drinking out.
I mean, it was released this year, so Saints Row 4. I haven't played it yet. It's actually next on my list. It's right on top of my, right next to my PS3. The Last of Us, which is a game from this year for sure, was apparently fantastic. I just haven't had the chance to play it, but everyone's raving about it.
Can you tell me about it? Because I don't know anything about it, but beyond the fact that apparently it's amazing.
So it's a zombie apocalypse Walking Dead type game, in terms of the situation, the world that it's built around. But the zombies are actually created by a fungus that grows on them as well, so they're like fungus zombies. And you play, I think you might even switch characters, but I'm not 100% sure. It's made by Naughty Dog, the guys that made the Uncharted series of games.
Okay. And also Resistance, right?
And, yes. No, they, that's,
no,
that's,
you're right. That's
Insomniac.
Yes. Resistance.
Yeah. So the guys that made Uncharted, their last game on PS3, The Last of Us, some real hard choices. It's really dark, like a really dark game. Apparently, really compelling, great story.
Darker than Heavy Rain?
Yeah.
Because I cut my finger off in that game, man.
Yeah, no. Spoiler. Like,
I crawled over broken glass and shit.
From what I hear, like, it's brutal. Like, from beginning to end, it is
brutality.
Brutal. You know, if you
cut
have
your finger off because it's going to turn into a zombie. Just like Evil Dead.
My finger went bad. I had to cut it off.
Like,
you replace it with a tiny little scalpel.
So, Last of Us. What else did I say? Saints Row 4. There are a bunch of indie games that came out that are great. I don't know if Journey came out last year or this year, but I'll say Journey anyway.
No, that was the 70s. They were awesome.
There's a game.
I thought it was like 79 when they first formed.
The band? Yeah. Anyway. No. Journey on, I mean, Journey on PS3. Album,
they're pretty handy.
There's a game that did. I'm pretty sure it came out this year.
They're stadium.
It's called Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. Fantastic game. It's also an indie game. 2 or 3 hours playthrough max. You play as two brothers. Each stick on your controller controls a brother, and each trigger button controls one action.
Why gotta be controlled
brothers? It's a great story. Also, like, ends not happily, but it's got a great like closure to it. Great game. What else have I liked this year? Man, a bunch of stuff came out, but
73 dog. Sorry,
they played that long. Wow. How about Black Flag? Is that
they just did Assassin's Creed 4?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm loving it.
Sorry, I realized we were going from music to video games, but we didn't even like explain. Yeah,
it's okay. You follow. It's woven in. So okay, yeah, you Assassin's
Creed
4.
I beat Assassin's Creed 4 like the day or two after we last podcasted.
Nice.
Definitely a worthy sequel, better than 3 by far.
Wasn't 3 kind of the low point of the series?
Yeah, I think people,
or was that one of the many tofus?
I liked all the tofus. I think a lot of people started to complain once Revelations, which is the last of the two series following Ezio, which is the character in the past that you play as.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it well enough. I thought it was an interesting kind of closure to some of the plot elements there. So the game, you know, has like a modern day component and or near future day component and a past component. And the near future stuff ended in Assassin's Creed 3 in kind of an unsatisfying way. And between that and the kind of bland character in the past, Connor, who's you know, Native American, set in the Revolutionary War period, he just wasn't very compelling because it's. I think the actor, like the delivery, was kind of deadpan.
What if we took this game and recut it with elements of Last of the Mohicans?
It already has
I'm
elements
mostly
of Last of
the
Mohicans.
Soundtrack here.
We just need some promontory. It was like,
you know, like in Assassin's Creed 2, you hang out with Leonardo da Vinci and he makes you shit. And it's like really cool to have Leonardo kind of on your side. You meet all these, you hang out with Machiavelli and he's an assassin and he can train you on something. Like, there were cool elements. In the Revolutionary War, you're hanging out with Ben Franklin and George Washington, and you don't give a fuck because it's boring. And it's just not the same. But then you switch to 4, which is the first game that goes backwards in time in the past, but forward in time in the future.
Hmm.
And you're a pirate, and you're in the Caribbean, and it's awesome. Like, you hang out with Blackbeard and Mary Read and the Dread Pirate Roberts himself. Not from SilkRoad.com or whatever, but... Well, the DPR in the past and
the DPR. Real life DPR,
yeah. The real life DPR.
You couldn't have possibly committed all those crimes. Blackbeard did some of that shit.
Yeah, he did, and you see it because you participate.
Oh, spoiler! Shit.
But like the way what they do with DPR is interesting in that game. Like he's kind of woven into the story in both the past and the present in an interesting way. So I think they revived it. They saved that thing, man. I was going to give up. AC4 was the last one. I was like, if this thing isn't good, I am done. I've played Assassin's Creed 1, 2, Brotherhood, Revelations 3, and 4. I played 6 fucking Assassin's Creed games. 7, actually, because I played the one on Vita. And I was ready to give up after all that, you know, journey through and some interesting stories. But it brought me back. I'm in for 5 or whatever they make next.
Cool.
No, they're doing a new series now. It's about Jesus, and it's called The Apostles' Creed.
Oh God! And then there'll be a competing one called the Nicene's Creed that they issue at the same time.
Damn!
There are more.
That'll
games.
Be like Pokemon Red and Blue.
Yeah, there you go.
How about Arkham Origins?
Arkham Origins. I played Arkham Origins. It's okay. I wouldn't say it's any. It's not different than Arkham City or Arkham Asylum. In fact, after playing the 3 Arkham games. I think the original Arkham Asylum is the best one.
Really?
Yeah, I think it is. Arkham City was cool to have the open world thing, but it didn't really add anything. It didn't really make it awesome like I thought it was going to. Trying to think of other games I played. I played DMC, which is the reboot of Devil May Cry.
Was it as hard as DMC 2, for example?
No. Definitively no. But it was kind of cool. I mean, it sets up the franchise in an interesting way.
Now, this is the one where you have the motorcycle that you swing around, or no?
That's Devil May Cry 3.
DMC3.
Yeah, okay. Where you use a motorcycle like a weapon, and you swing it around your body like it's a combo, like in a combo.
Isn't
in a
that
cutscene.
Like in The Simpsons, where they have like the Tiger's Duel, they actually use their horns as weapons?
Yes!
Stole that shit.
Shoot.
Yeah, the Simpsons just end up everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are some good games. I'm drawing a blank, though. I know there are many more that I've played and that people talk about critically online that I'm just kind of drawing a blank on.
So banner year, in other words.
I mean, lately every year is a banner year.
Yeah.
The market, like the industry is kind of stratifying into these indie games that are kind of pushing creativity in one way and the AAA blockbuster games that are kind of repeats, but they kind of up the ante with their graphics or better mechanics or continuation to a story that you're invested in.
Almost like Hollywood now.
Yeah, Halo 4 came out this year. There's one that people rave about. I haven't actually had the chance to play it,
yeah.
But a lot of people liked it.
What was the deal with
I forgot
the
Halo
newest...
4 came out. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Is the newest Call of Duty out yet, or is it not out yet?
Call
of Doggy?
Yeah, Call of Duty Ghosts. Right. That came out this year, yeah. I didn't get to play it either, but from what I read and heard on podcasts and such... Like, it's just the same. It's more of the same. Modern Warfare. With, you know, it seems like COD Blops 2, which came out last year, I guess, late last year, was a better experience. Call of Duty Black Ops.
Now, what was the... Borderlands 2 was last year, right?
I think so. Have you heard about the crazy app that they released?
Uh-uh.
So, like, they have this app now that you can get for your phone, Android or iOS. And you can take any object in the real world, take a picture of it, and it creates this QR code that, or whatever, this key that you key into your Borderlands 2 game, and it makes a unique weapon based on the object you photographed with random properties associated with it.
That's awesome.
So you can take a picture of anything, and it'll make a gun for you in that game. That game's all about guns. Like, it's a sort of an MMO, but you get to build customized guns that are, like, kind of unique to your character, and that's kind of the twist is you do that. Yeah, so Mike Newman was.
And a little scary.
Mike Newman from Chainsaw Soup Podcast, he writes for, like, he's a writer and, like, creative director or something. Maybe not creative director, like, he has some title. He works for Gearbox and works on those games.
A bunch of dudes in one of the IRC channels I hang out in. Yes, I hang out on IRC. when it first came out, were, like, posting these ridiculous weapons that they found or made with some... I mean, I didn't play Borderlands really at all, so I know just enough to know, oh, that's kind of... That looks like a powerful gun. And then sometimes they'll post these ones that... Whatever, they're ridiculous, but they look freaking awesome.
Yeah, apparently they...
Sometimes that game looks like it's pretty fun. There's apparently a whole subculture of people who are still playing the shit out of the first Borderlands because there are some glitches that allow you to get, like, some ridiculous weapons that are just... The frequency with which they're generated is very low, but, like, if you get one, then it's awesome. So people just play the shit out of these games. Like,
yeah.
Trying to get the rights to it.
Riyadh, since you're a Metal Gear fan, Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance came out this year, and people hated that game.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just kind of bad. Just
that's
overall.
A callback. I think
there's a new Tomb Raider. It isn't a callback, because we did call an episode something Revengeance.
Dragulance.
A Tomb Raider reboot came out this
year. That was our beginning of 2013, actually.
I played that Tomb Raider reboot. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as good. It was trying to be Uncharted, and Uncharted is still better. I'm sorry. But they kind of rebooted Lara Croft pretty well, I would say.
Rebooted?
Oh, like a very popular game that's so freaking hard. It's an indie game. It's called Hotline Miami, if you have not played that.
No, dude.
Yeah, you have to play that freaking game.
Dude, yes, I want to. What is this about?
You are basically like a mobster, and like it's a flat top down like 2D game where you like run around.
So it's like old school.
You like break into homes and you have to like kill everybody like these mobsters, and like you have bats and like guns and you just it's bloody as all hell. And it has like an awesome soundtrack, 80s soundtrack.
So it's like X Evil, but heads but top down.
It's yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Nice.
Resident Evil 6 came out, but I don't care about that. BioShock Infinite. How could I forget? BioShock Infinite was amazing. What else we got in here? Lots of garbage. Lots of garbage.
Shovelware.
Crap. Just going through a list of every release.
Trying to remember the indie games that I played at PAX that were awesome. There were some pretty great ones at...
Fez came out this year, which is critically acclaimed.
How could we forget
Fez 2013?
Divekick came out, yeah.
Divekick. Yes.
Dude.
Yes. For shame. With Street Fighter 4 is 2012, isn't it?
Earlier even. Now there's Super Street Fighter 4 and...
Not of course there is.
And
wait, did they add a Native American dude to Super Street Fighter 4?
I don't know.
Another one? They have T-Hawk.
Because Super Street Fighter 2 is when they added T-Hawk.
I think so.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the last Street Fighter that I played like any serious amount of time was Street Fighter Turbo. 2 Turbo.
Really? I played a lot of Alpha 3 in college.
By that time, I was playing Soul Calibur instead, so I was just like...
There's this game called Gone Home that's more of an interactive story in terms of the gameplay than anything else, but it's also an indie game that's maybe a couple hours long. But I thought it was fantastic. It's first person. It's funny. It's a first person perspective, and it moves like a first person shooter. But it's not a shooter. You don't do anything except turn lights on and off, and like read letters and like trigger like events. But there's some creepy elements to it. So like people online were posting like fake screenshots of like we need a flashlight or a shotgun mod for this game to make me feel better. So people are like shopping in like a gun in the game. It's like it's totally inappropriate. But it's pretty funny.
You can't actually use it, but you can carry it around and it makes you feel better. Didn't you can there's the shotgun, but there's no ammo for it anywhere.
So it's a zombie game.
Yeah, well, yes.
Eventually it becomes a bad.
Dude, you know, speaking of no ammo, and one of my favorite playthroughs of Half-Life ever was one where I basically didn't use any of the advanced weapons except when you absolutely had to, right? Okay, so there are some times when you have to use the rocket launcher to get past, like, the three writhing snake boss guys.
Oh, yeah.
You need the crossbow because you have to kill one of those shark things at some point. But most of the rest of the time, you don't need anything, right? So I played through that game using the crowbar, and sometimes the Magnum if I needed to snipe, and that was it. That was awesome. That's how that game should be played. Like, it should be played, like, my opinion.
You turned it into Metal Gear, essentially.
Yes, I was just gonna say playing Half-Life like Metal Gear was awesome.
Of course, okay.
I
can see that. Seems tough, but I can see that.
It was totally great. It was fun as
hell. Oh, Dead Space 3 came out this year.
Was that any good?
It was okay. It's the weakest of the trilogy, but it does finish out the story.
Okay.
So we'll see what they do with, like, you know. It's funny because a lot of these games that we're talking about are the third or fourth one in the franchise. And that kind of wraps it up in the previous gen console. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens with all the new stuff.
Yeah, sure.
It's kind of a new world. SimCity, the abysmal launch of SimCity from EA came out.
Wasn't there a new Civ as well this year?
I think so.
Or was that last year?
I'm trying to
find it's been recently. It's one of the two, I think.
Oh, there was the StarCraft expansion,
there's
right?
Goddess. That we saw at Apex.
Oh, yeah. My girlfriend's been playing that, and it is not so good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's, like, really, really rough. Like, it's, like, close to alpha kind of rough.
Oh, that's right. It's not finished.
Yeah, it's not finished. Okay. It's on Steam beta or whatever is. Not Greenlight. It's, I forget what it's called, but, like, early preview or something like that. And it's got a long way to go.
Shadowrun Returns came out this year. That was the result of a Kickstarter. I participated in that Kickstarter because I was very excited about Shadowrun. They finally released a DRM-free Linux version of it, so now I can actually play the game that I paid for a long time ago. I mean, I suppose I could have used Steam, but... Oh.
I like Steam okay. Yeah. I'm not a fan?
No, not really.
Okay.
I don't even remember what my Steam username is anymore.
I'm not sure I know mine either, but... That's just
dude, I know some people with amazing Steam usernames, though. Like Depeche Chode, that's a great Steam username.
Have I told this? I think I've mentioned this story off podcast. Back in college, used to play a lot of Counter-Strike. A lot of Counter-Strike in my off time.
I recall
and,
this.
We all.
Did you do your spelling homework?
We pretended to be 10-year-olds one time to get ourselves deliberately kicked off a server where we just asked each other if we had done the homework, and we were confused on our language arts homework, which one was supposed to be five times each.
Oh my God.
Five times each, ABC order, what it was. And we kept typing that and just filling the screen, and we got ourselves banned. That was fun. But anyway, I was playing Counter-Strike, and two amazing things have happened to me in Counter-Strike that I sometimes share. And given the format and the content of this podcast, one of them I feel more comfortable sharing, I feel comfortable sharing both of them, but another podcast I may not talk about. Anyway, one dude's walking around and he's, his username, his handle was so distracting that, like, that had to have earned him some kills. Get ready for it. Captain Janeway's Left Piss Flap. That was his whole fucking name. Okay. Now, who comes up with that? Number one. Number two, Voyager was still airing at the time, so maybe it was, you had a stronger impression of that there. Also,
yeah,
is there a right
yet.
Piss flap? Is his, like, brother or something the right, like, I don't understand.
Yeah, they're Plan Janeway.
They're just
parts of her body.
Yeah, really freaking weird, but hilarious. And the second one was this guy managed to take, like, his MIDI output from his sound card and plug it into the mic input or whatever, so that when I was following him around, we were teamed up and we were looking for the terrorists. We were the CTs, and we're jumping. He's like, he jumps up and does the little flutter and, like, falls through this, like, hole to get into like a bottom part of the level or whatever. He starts playing the Beverly Hills Cop like soundtrack, but like in MIDI format. So you just hear like beep, 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 as he's like jumping through. And that was also an amazing thing.
You know, you said Beverly Hills Cop. But for some reason, my mind conjured Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh,
so, I was like, oh, he was shooting us a food. Oh no, that's not right at all.
And nice. You know, you just, maybe you just had to be there, but those were freaking amazing moments. I kind of like in Steam.
Well, I still remember that Doom mod from the '90s, where you would you'd get a shotgun and Arnold Schwarzenegger would say, "I swear I will not kill anyone."
Nice. I had a Terminator 2 Doom mod for sure.
Oh yeah.
Some of them were awesome. Oh man.
Okay, so since you brought up Revengeance of the Draculas, episode 4, in that episode we all had things we were excited about for this year, 2013. Were expectations met?
I loved Pacific Rim.
Yeah, I was going to say Pacific Rim was so awesome.
I can say that. What the hell did we say about Man of Steel? That's what I...
I was pumped for it.
I said I wasn't going to see it, and I didn't. So my expectations were met.
I don't remember what I said.
Unlocked.
I don't remember what I said. Laziness. I guess I was keeping an open mind. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But there's so much controversy about the ending of that movie. In some circles.
And also the pile of skulls on the little statue.
Oh, yes, the statue with the pile of skulls. Way to go, DC.
That was weird. it's an okay film. I think we talked about this before. Yeah. I mean, it got some things really right. It got some stuff like, okay, that was weird.
But, yeah. I mean, I think it's better than Superman Returns. The Bryan Singer.
Superman Returns. But yes. Superman Returns is really a remake of the Donner film from '78.
Yeah.
It's very, very similar. I think he went off on that at some point on the podcast.
Maybe he did. I was listening to Comic Dorks, and Scott Kurtz had this whole thing about, he calls it Superman Lifts instead of Superman Returns.
Yeah.
Because he says that's all he does, lift things.
Right. Yeah, that was a whole internet meme. Like it's a story of how Superman saves the world by lifting a succession of heavier objects. And it really is what he does.
I've never heard of that. That's funny.
So, yeah. No, that film's problem was pacing. It's too slow.
Hmm.
But it's 2.5 hours. It's like, no.
Yeah.
It's a Superman. What the hell are you doing?
So, Marvel movies this year, we got Thor and we got Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Iron Man 3 and I liked Thor 2.
Yeah, I liked them. I didn't love either of them, but I did like them. We had... the conclusion of Wheel of Time, Memory of Light on our list.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Wheel of Time.
Dude!
As someone who read it twice, Riyadh, how would you...
Excellent. Excellent. It really did finish up the series in a spectacular manner. I think it made the series worth it. There were some things about the last... We were talking about this last night when we were getting breakfast at midnight. There were some things about specifics in the way he tied up some plot lines that I wasn't super happy with. But, I mean, whatever. It's... You can't be happy with everything. It was well done. I don't know. The last book was definitely a page-turner. It was fun. Then I went back and reread the whole series, and the whole series really does hang together pretty damn well.
Yeah, I think you were saying last night that it hangs together better when you can read them all at once rather than waiting.
Yeah, the details, like, it's clear when you read it through. I know I've said this before, even on the podcast, but it's clear when you read it through all together that Jordan really did know pretty much where he was going the whole time. Like, he got lost a little bit in the middle, maybe book 7, 8. Things slowed down a little bit. He got mired in details. But I had this unpleasant sensation when they were coming out that he was just lost. The prize was completely out of sight at this point. But no, it really wasn't. Like, everything did work in a reasonable fashion. And when you read it through, you know, start to finish, it does work. Like, there's no point in it where you're like, wow, this is he could have got... Like, knowing what's going to come... There's no point where, like, I'm reading something and I'm like, well, this is bullshit. He could have just cut this out. Like, there were tiny little things here and there, but whatever. I mean, he was building the world. That's what he likes to do. Great.
Yeah.
So
he's very good at it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was pretty damn good.
I never really took him to task for the fact that it meandered a little bit for the most part, because the books were coming out so regularly.
Yeah.
I was cool with that. I was like, all right, if you're going to churn one of these out every year...
Well, George R.R. Martin had lowered your expectations to the point where merely writing a book was sufficient.
We're going to have to do a rant cast about that sometime. I'll get my Kurtz on.
We should invite... are we allowed to use her name?
I don't know yet.
That person that I'm referring to, who also hates Jar Jar,
Kitty Pryde, you're talking about?
Yes. We should perhaps get their opinion.
We could also invite Marshmallow Man.
We could fill the studio pretty easily with people who do not like that guy anymore.
Yeah, there you go.
Dude, well, he's irrelevant now. HBO has that thing. Yeah. They're going to write the shit out of that.
Yeah. Did you guys see that the guy who plays Robb Stark has a new Western coming out about the Alaskan Gold Rush? It looks good.
Really?
That's yeah. Pretty
cool. And Jon Snow is in Pompeii.
That does not look good.
That looks really
what did
bad.
We say was the catchphrase for that? Like,
I wish I could remember things like this.
Like, I forget now. There's something about like stepping up to like live your life. I forget. Whatever. It was ridiculous. Everybody dies. It's freaking Pompeii. We know what happens. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like,
hey, that's what you thought about Titanic, and you were right.
I did not like Titanic either.
And Celine Dion is also singing the soundtrack for this movie.
That would be fun.
That would be hysterical.
She the does, same she song. She's not actually. It's just My Heart Will Go On, but in the Pompeii setting.
Oh,
she just does the like. That's the only soundtracks that she does anymore is the films based on Dune.
No,
like
Bastille has that new single called Pompeii. That's what they should play. Nice. It doesn't matter. Like, well, same name. Sure, let's do it.
What was I going to say? Oh, on comics, I mentioned that I was really excited for Guardians of the Galaxy reboot,
and
I'm kind of lukewarm on it, honestly. Like, I had a lot of enthusiasm going in, but I don't care necessarily read it month to month. I kind of maybe let a couple issues go and then catch back up. It's been okay. It just hasn't been captivating, which is kind of weird because I like Brian Michael Bendis just fine. I don't think he's doing anything wrong necessarily. It's just nothing earth-shattering or super cool or new that I hadn't read before, maybe?
Yeah. I've enjoyed the hell out of his X-Men run.
Yeah, his X-Men run's been more interesting stuff in some ways. But even that, I've let it slip here and there.
It's slow. Like, yeah. I like to let five or six come out and then just read them like,
yeah.
Because he just...
I get the feeling he's trying to put together a lot of things. Like, a lot more moving parts.
That's why he's a good X-Men writer.
Yeah. But it's because but it slows him down. It slows him down. Like, he's meeting out these things now. And, like, it takes you several issues to, like, understand the full kind of apparatus that he's created. Hickman also is the same. Like, Hickman will give you the whole apparatus. He'll write you 40-page issues every month.
You get your
Infinity
money from Hickman Comics.
God damn. I'm reading Infinity. I'm only halfway through Infinity, even though it's over now or whatever. The last one came out.
Oh, okay.
Like a couple weeks ago or last week or something. And like each one of those is like 80 pages or something like that. Like that thing is huge. Huge. Like, I don't know. Like they've given him free reign. He's no longer like, Secret Warriors, you know, I had to wrap that up. I can only do. No, he's like, Infinity, I'm going to give you all of it.
Wow.
Here you go. And if you haven't been reading my Avengers and New Avengers, you have no idea where this starts from, so you should read those too, and those are complex.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I have to say, I love his ideas. It just
I need
takes
to go
a while
back.
To
you
through.
Reminded me. I need to go back and finish Secret Warriors.
Yeah,
I kind of fell off, but I was like, I did enjoy it. I just got sidetracked.
My after finishing Secret Warriors, it's kind of like, well, it ended. You can tell he just had to wrap it up. Like he didn't have time, and the trend. Like, that whole, like, post-Siege, or was it pre-Siege? It was post-Secret Invasion is when it started.
It built up
through Secret Invasion, then kind of had, like, stuff kind of trail afterwards, leading up to Siege. And, like, the larger Marvel Universe was running past him, and he was still trying to unveil this huge, like, thriller, spy thriller thing. And I can tell he just had to cut bait on a couple of plot threads and just wrap them up fast, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a shame too because that was a great book.
Yeah,
I just started off strong.
Yeah,
but yeah,
but I mean, it's good. It's just I can given what I know now, I haven't read more of his stuff. The guy has plans upon plans.
He brings it. He's
he brings it, man. He's prolific when it comes to page count and stuff.
Are you reading Manhattan Projects?
I started to, and then I just lost it in work.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Sadly, I wanted to read it. It looked cool.
Yeah, that's him too. That's how I was asking.
Yeah. I remember that.
Did we talk about Arrow?
And
the Revengeance podcast.
I talked about how Dwight Howard was going to be Maverick. That did
okay,
not go
that
to
did not, that did not.
And
happen.
That's okay because he does not have it anymore.
He's not. He's not bringing it.
No, he's not like Pierce and KG done evidently, but.
Hey, yeah, even those guys on the Nets, they have some life to them left to them. Paul Pierce and KG.
I mean, Brooklyn's bad.
They're bad, but they, I don't know, they're
bad, but the Knicks are making them look good. It's okay.
Maybe. Okay. All right, fair enough. I guess.
Always the Knicks to make you feel better.
They had kind of a strong start, but maybe that was what happened. Like, I haven't really followed them the last couple of months. They started strong, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're old. And then they just broke down. Maybe that's what happened.
Well, that and they don't have a coach, because Jason Kidd was like, right. Just thrown out there by the Russian mob.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Russian businessmen.
Yeah.
And,
what's the difference?
Don't you know, tell me. On the Dwight Howard front, it's like Kobe's going to lap him. Kobe was injured, and now he's coming back. 240
days, I'm on the Hawkins back. That is insane.
Kobe is going to lap him. Yeah. It's interesting.
Oh, okay, so I have science in 2013.
Didn't we discuss at some point that Sleeper was optioned for? Is that recent news or is that like old ass news?
It's happened several times. Okay. There's been a recent re-optioning, if that is actually a
the
word.
Re-optioning.
But yeah,
because somehow that was somebody we were talking about who would play Tau. And that,
we did talk about that. I thought,
That would be pretty awesome if they could make a decent.
I'm sure my
pair
joke answer
movies.
Was Bradley Cooper, but I don't know what the hell we actually arrived at.
Who do we had some great suggestion? Who was it?
Well, I mean, could it just have been the Batch?
Was it the Batch? Maybe it was the Batch.
I mean, you could totally imagine him being Tau, right?
Yeah.
Except he's not Asian.
He's not Asian. That's the thing.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if that actually happens. Jackie Chan's too old for that.
Wow. What's the dude's name who was Spock in the newer...
Zachary Quinto?
Quinto, yeah. Again, I don't think it's so important to keep...
Wait, have I been saying it wrong? Is it Quinto?
Quinto. It's, it's Spanish.
Oh. Okay.
Means fifth.
I didn't want to see Spanish. Okay, no, I got it. Yeah, I just. Yeah. Nice. I'm the fifth Zachary.
Maybe, yeah.
He's ancient.
Rhymes with the shitty hotel chain. Got it.
Nice. Yeah.
So, that would be pretty cool. I think if they could do. It's really well designed as a. As a story.
Oh, I want an HBO series that so bad.
Really? Instead of a movie?
Oh, yes.
Because, like, think about it. The Departed has not the same, a similar storyline, right?
The Departed.
The Departed was a great movie. And, yeah, there's more complexity to the Sleeper story because we have all kinds of other shit going on. But, like, fundamentally, you could make two movies, three movies out of that. And, like, that would be...
The Departed was actually a remake of a Chinese film.
And that was, like,
Affairs.
But each installment of Sleeper is so rich and so well done by itself. I'd love to see it on a television series.
And each of the...
Could you do this movie? Certainly. But...
I mean, it's... How many books is it? It's 2 years, right? And so
24 issues.
Yeah. So, like, you could make...
28 if you want to throw in Point Blank.
Point Blank was good, too.
Yeah.
Man, it was... Yeah.
I actually read Point Blank first, which chronologically is right, but is wrong in terms of... Like, I think it's better if you read it last.
I read it first as well.
Really?
I did.
Because
yeah.
It came out the other way, right? It came out.
No, Point Blank came out, and that was where.
I thought Point Blank.
Point Blank is a grifter story.
Yes,
but it's got Holden in it.
Yes, I know. I thought it was. I thought it was backwards. I thought Point Blank came out afterwards, and
no,
it was
that
like
that was
a,
how he pitched Sleeper. Because they were going to go for it unless he did it that way.
Oh, okay. Now I understand. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. When I was reading Sleeper, I was like, knowing what went on in Point Blank, I was like, yeah, maybe I know too much. Like, maybe I would have preferred to have it the other way. But okay, now that I was mistaken.
We're totally on board, and we're supposed to be.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, that's...
Come on, AMC. Make this happen. You've got a void in your programming now.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Oh, key's gone. We can talk Breaking Bad, I think.
Yeah, sure.
I'm
not finished with it, but don't worry about me.
Oh, it's so good. And I don't want to ruin it for you.
Dude, you're not going to... I mean, the odds that I watch it in time for that I remember it... Look, by the time I watch it, someone will have ruined it for me, so you may as well get good radio out of it.
Well, that's why I went on a Breaking Bad tear this fall. I realized, wow, this thing's a pop culture phenomenon. If I want to watch it unspoiled, I got to get on it now. And I think they want to tear. It's so good.
They wrapped it up really well. The ending... pretty much gives you satisfaction on with every character.
I have one minor critique. It's very minor. I would like to have seen more of what happens to Jesse.
That's what I was gonna say too. Yeah. Well, before you said that was what I was gonna finish with. Like,
yeah.
The Jesse is a little too open ended.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, he wants to leave it that way. Let Vince leave it that way.
Yeah, that's not wrong. I just would like to have seen more what was gonna happen to him.
Yeah.
It was good.
Some people say, not to spoil too much, that. At least I've heard this interpretation. I don't necessarily agree with it. That after Walt gets shot, and that is it the last episode?
I've heard this theory.
That the rest of it is just his hallucination. It's not the actual reality. But there are no real like hints or scenes or anything like that to indicate that that's the case.
It's just somebody supposing.
I mean, you can do that with lots of things. Like lots of dramatic.
Yeah, what I heard is that Lost, the whole thing is just.
Oh God!
The problem with that with Lost was they actually went that way in season 6.
No, I'm really
and then they confused the hell out of Joe Average.
Yeah,
it's like no, they were season not the five, whole time, man. Just part of the time.
Season 5 had me so wound up. That was so cool, all the time travel and everything. And then season 6 was a bit of a letdown. I gotta say, I enjoyed it, but
yeah, 4 and 5 was the high point of that.
Yeah,
6's twist was just lame.
Yeah,
I mean, people keep saying it didn't pay off and then explain stuff. I'm like, no, they did. It just wasn't very cool.
It was well acted. It was, there was nothing,
There was some cool character stuff in there, too. I liked the way that, with the Flash sideways, as they came to be known, is the way the characters reinvented themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
But, again, the twist was like, oh, that's kind of lame, but.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean.
So I just finished watching the mid-season finale of Arrow, and I have to say, the show gets better and better. If you can suffer through season 1.
Well, no.
Do you actually need to suffer? Can't you just read the Wikipedia summary?
Yes, you can. You can, in fact, do exactly that. You can start with season 2, and I swear to you, season 2 is the DC show I wanted that they should I was expecting season 1 and didn't quite get. And with the mid-season finale, they're actually bringing superpowers in. So, like, season 1 was all gritty, Dark Knight-ish. And I wonder if that's what they needed to do to get it on the network. Like, to get it, the show actually on there. Now we have full-on Deathstroke the frickin' Terminator, man. Like, this is not...
Quick question before we go too far past it. Do you suffer through 1, or is it just not as good as 2?
It's not as good as 2. I think the first few episodes of season 1, you have to... It's a CW show. So,
he's going to have like a shirt off. He's going to
salmon ladder, as I mentioned before. He's going to be doing stuff, and everyone is very attractive, and there's all kinds of drama. But
Babylon 5 is the same thing. The first season of Babylon 5 is basically shit,
and
then like it gets
twice,
good.
And I'm just like, this is.
I love Babylon 5,
but you got to admit, the first season 1,
you
got
to push through. You got to
push through season 1, and then like the rest.
And then they reboot it.
Good.
They honestly do like a soft reboot, and then.
So, like, the advice that some people give is suffer through season 1, I think the right way to do it is, fuck that. Read the Wikipedia summary, and you don't really lose much, even if you don't. And then
in fact, at the beginning of season 2, they recap the major events of season 1, because it took like, all season to get to, like, the meat towards the end, which is, like, you know, like a traditional kind of show that people don't care about. Season 2, though, is just dropping stuff. I think they finally realize, like, because Slade Wilson has been a character since season 1, and like if you read the comics, you kind of know like what's going to happen to him. He's going to become a villain, but they've been playing it out. Now I think they're just saying, you know what? Let's just start unleashing this stuff. Black Canary, got her. Slade Wilson, not just a military guy, but actually has superpowers. Got it. Solomon Grundy, you got it. The Flash, you got it. Here you go. Enjoy these things. We're 9 episodes in season 2. I've seen all of those things.
It's like the opposite of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. In fact, yes.
No fun here.
Yeah.
They
waited until the mid-season finale to throw some fun, and even then, it was really toned down. Mm-hmm. Arrow's going the other direction. Like, now they got, like, people running super speed, like, punching people, and they go flying. Like, and they bring, like, real world, like, the Oliver Queen, the Green Arrow, he doesn't have any superpowers, so they're like, how are you going to deal with this dude? He just gave you, like, the deepest bruise you've ever had. Like, you have this fist-shaped bruise on your chest. And he's like, well, I killed somebody like that before. And they don't tell you who. And you kind of figure out that he thought he killed Deathstroke. And then, like, they do this reveal later where he's still alive. But it's not whatever. You kind of figure that that's how they were going to play it. But, like, they actually address the fact, like, you don't have superpowers. You have a bow and arrow. this guy just crushed this other guy's neck with his one hand and threw him across the warehouse.
This is what I like about
it. And he talks about it.
This is the potential, really, that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has to be. Well, okay, first of all, I thought Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was the wrong way for them to go. They need a street-level superhero show.
Netflix 2015. Netflix 2015. Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Misty? Iron Fist. Those are going to be four separate TV series only on Netflix. And then they're going to team up in 2020 or whatever to make The Defenders an event series.
See, I thought they needed like a Heroes for Hire type show, which I guess is effectively what they're doing here. Yeah. But they need something like that, street-level superheroes, and then you can introduce concepts that get people primed for the movies. And you can always do more street-level shit because there's always ongoing. But it doesn't have to be epic, and the budget doesn't have to be huge.
And that's the problem. Given that Disney owns both Marvel Studios and ABC, it seems like they would be real easy for them to do that.
Yeah.
I guess given that DC is a Time Warner property, I guess it's just easy for them.
And it's pretty clever what they've done with Arrow, because the powers that they've introduced is basically enhanced humans, Captain America style stuff, which is easy to film, right? Because you just tie somebody to a rope, and when you hit them, they go, whoa! There's no flame thrower person, or they've had Firefly, they've had in season one, they've had the Royal Flush Gang, but they've made them more realistic. Type villains criminals. Royal Flush was in Batman Beyond, but they've also in some of the Justice League stuff.
And, those are cool characters. I think I know who that is.
They didn't even call them the Royal Flush Gang, but that's what they were. They had Count Vertigo, who's played by the guy who plays Lincoln in Fringe.
Nice.
He's come back two or three times. They have Brother Blood in season two of Arrow, they've worked in Ra's al Ghul. They've worked in Merlin the Black Archer from season one. They're working that.
League of Shadows is a good nice touch.
Yeah, they're doing that. Artists. And Black Canary is associated with them. So they have Dr. Ivo and stuff in there too. They're it's becoming a comic book show. Season one more Smallville-ish type stuff. Season two straight up they've dropped all pretense. It is a comic book show, and I'm
so maybe do they see the writing on the wall? Well, first of all, do we know? Do they have a third season?
I don't think they have a pickup for a third season yet. Although I can't imagine they would. They wouldn't, because I haven't heard anything about the ratings.
It's universally beloved.
People watch it like it, but it's not clear that a lot of people are watching.
And they're planning on they soft launched the Flash through it already, and they're actually gonna they decided to not do any more Flash stuff. They left them kind of a cliffhanger after being hit by the lightning. And Barry Allen will have his own show on the same network, and they're supposed to, be part of the same universe. So it's almost like they're trying to do the same thing Marvel did, but on TV. And it'd be really interesting to see where it goes, because I'm loving season two. I guess it's really exciting.
Pretty
very
awesome.
Exciting.
Have you heard anything about Amazon, one way or the other?
Amazon, in terms of their
that was Wonder Woman, the television series.
Oh, I haven't heard anything. They're mostly making comedies and stuff for their Prime streaming stuff.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything.
There's been buzz on and off about that they're trying to, as always, they're trying to get something done with her and they're failing. But
yeah,
I mean, we have.
Why it's impossible to get Wonder Woman working?
It's not.
You have to have Marvel, a little bit of balls.
Marvel owes us Captain Marvel as well. Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel. I think they owe us that.
We talked about that earlier this year. Yeah,
they owe us that.
So we'll bring it back up as we're recapping the year, I guess. Yeah.
Just today.
How do you do Guardians of the Galaxy and not have her,
For example, I think she's even in, they're working her in as well into the Bendis series, so it's should be doable.
That doesn't surprise me. He and Kelly Sue, I think, hang out every other day with his wife. Just today, what was happening?
Oh, this was kind of a shift, so.
I actually cut you
so
off.
Just today, just today, Brubaker was tweeting about the new Hobbit movie. Point out that
people were saying that it's good.
He said it's much better than the first one, but he's still not a huge fan.
Hmm.
That's not the wrong way to put it. He said it has problems, and he admits the problems. He said he likes it, and he's glad that it's decent, but it's too much like Fellowship of the Ring. It's got too much of that Lord of the Rings flavor, or the Lord of the Rings flavor instead of the Hobbit flavor. The Hobbit is just a different story, and they're not doing a good job of communicating that. But he said the sets are awesome, and some parts of it are really good, and the dragon is awesome.
Well,
it's the Batch. I mean,
Right, yeah. That's a great. When we heard they were stretching it, I was like, oh, this is doomed to failure. It's not a three films. It's one long one.
It could be two, but two is apparently no one wants to make an even number of films. I don't know why. But, like, two at most, right?
Yeah, it's just not that much going on.
It depends.
There's some stuff implied that later gets fleshed out in Lord of the Rings, as we know, having read the books, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That feels like a money grab, and always did, and I was like, well...
Well, speaking of money grabs, I mean, fucking everyone's doing multiple movie versions of a single story now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But we were just talking last night about
Mockingjay Part 1 and 2, evidently.
Yep.
Hunger Games, right?
Yep.
Ridiculous. Oh, well. Man, the quest for more money.
Catching Fire. It was okay. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't. It didn't do much.
It's more of what you saw in Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Same with Book.
I finally watched the first Hunger Games on Netflix. I mean, you know, it was basically exactly what I expected.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, okay, I've seen this before. It was called Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah, last night we were talking about how I saw Red Dawn, the 2012 version, and where Thor and PETA get together to fight the North Koreans in Spokane, Washington, and how it's the, you know, the Tea Party's kind of... fantasy a little bit, but it's it was okay. I find it entertaining. I was doing other stuff while I was watching it and kind of,
yeah, there you go,
you know, chuckling about all the things that were going on.
Well, that feels like a good movie segue. We all love Pacific Rim.
Yeah. Like an awesome
thing. Over anything else that just blew you away?
I still have not seen The Wolverine.
Likewise.
This day.
Yeah.
I heard the director's cut is like more outrageous and more interesting to watch.
Wasn't Straub tweeting about Wolverine? Somebody, maybe he was retweeting.
There's something
this.
To do
but
with
there was some buzz on Twitter that I picked up that the director's cut was just redonkulous and like some the of
blood.
The fight scenes were just.
There's
just
something
silly.
With like a machine that like sucks in snow and blows it out, and then ninjas were getting caught in it and it was just blowing blood out the back.
Sure. Yeah,
and like
I think
copious amounts, and like somebody was saying,
he may have great. Told me that actually.
Maybe it was him.
Maybe on podcast.
Yeah, yeah, it was last time he was talking about.
Go.
It, so why even rehash?
Good,
good
for us.
but I still haven't seen it. Iron Man 3, I enjoyed a lot, and Thor 2, Thor Harder,
yeah.
I enjoyed as well. But,
I
mean, there was nothing like
I wanted them to kick my ass. Neither did.
Yeah.
Man of Steel didn't kick my ass. It was okay. Rush. I've mentioned this before. Ron Howard's Rush is the best movie I've seen this year thus far.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's really good.
Okay.
And it does have Hemsworth because he's in everything now. But sure. He actually can act. They gave him a role to actually act in and not just be pretty and swing a hammer, and he actually brings it. It's a really good film.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Well... Cyrus, I mean, you haven't seen 47 Ronin yet, so.
Yeah, Christmas Day will be a big one.
I'm ready.
It's
I'm
Keanu
ready.
Reeves, please.
American Hustle comes on Monday, too, right? Oh, 47 Ronin.
I'm ready.
Dear yeah, I'm excited.
Keanu Reeves
it looks stupid, but...
It cannot be an ass-kicker as him.
But I was excited for the Man with Iron Fist last year, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's, yeah.
But that, I mean, that was ridiculous and fun, right? There was going to be...
That's okay. Anyway. That's perfect.
The RZA was hard to listen to that guy act, if that's what you want to call it, but it was entertaining.
Yeah.
How dare you, sir.
G.I. Joe Retaliation came out this year.
That's right.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed
right.
that one.
Wait, that's the second one, right?
That's the second one.
That's the one that Key was like all over. Like,
yeah,
a few
yeah.
Ago.
It's
he
the
was
G.I.
Like,
Joe
oh my God,
movie
this is
you
actually
wanted
good.
All along. It's,
nice.
I promise you that.
Okay, I got to. I haven't seen that one.
Fast and Furious 6.
Fast and Furious 6, also a ton of fun.
Okay.
Ton of fun. But you kind of have to have seen at least Fast 5.
I've
really
seen 40 minutes of it.
To enjoy it. Just to get
I think
to
I Fast 5
in Fast 4.
They drive cars fast.
Yes. Yes.
And The Rock used to be their enemy, now he's their ally.
Yes.
That goddamn fight scene was so crazy.
Which one?
The one between him and...
Oh, between him and Vin
Diesel?
Vin Diesel,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just throwing the wrestling match, man.
Well, he tears his flag jacket off first just so you can really see his muscles at some point.
And then they just go bursting through walls and stuff in like an
garage. It's like when Peter Griffin fought the chicken. And
yes. In fact.
It's that crazy.
Rock gave me a bad coupon.
Have you guys seen the trailer for the Wachowskis' new film, Jupiter Ascending?
No.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's got the Chan Tates
in it. C-Tates.
And
yeah.
Mila Kunis as the titular.
Hemsworth and Renner weren't available?
Apparently not.
Wait. Mila Kunis is who?
She's Jupiter, who's like the main character. It's a sci-fi film with a lot of space travel, and from what I got from the trailer, she's like some princess or something, and they're trying to. C. Tates plays like this like assassin dude with elf ears that's like genetically engineered for battle or something. He's got elf ears and a goatee.
Oh.
But the fight scenes look cool, and it looks pretty ambitious.
Sure, I'll watch it. I'm a sucker for
sci-fi. Pretty freaking ambitious for the Wachowskis. Somebody put a Twitter like
big bid though.
Somebody posted on Twitter. It's like, I wish they had gotten Matrix money instead of Matrix Revolutions money to make this. Maybe they would have reined it in a little bit.
Nice. The thing that's kind of amazing is that did the Matrix 3 actually do well in the theaters?
I have no idea. I assume it did, but
really. My impression.
I think it did because everyone decided they hated it. Revolutions was universally panned, and I to this day I don't really understand why.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, people were pretty unhappy with the way it went down, right?
Yeah, I don't really understand why. I mean, I beyond the fact that the first one is, god damn near perfect in terms of have had a constructive film. It could only go down, but 2 and 3, I think, hold up just fine, but...
They're fun. I just, like... Yeah, it just doesn't compare to the original.
Yeah. But that doesn't make it shit by comparison, although...
It's not
that's,
shit.
That's
yeah,
what
I think it's a little too
take...
harsh.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I've never really understood the vitriol those two movies draw.
Makes sense. I'm going through the list of books that I read this year. I'm trying to decide what I think was the best book I read this year. I'm sorry, I know we've already talked a little bit about books.
No, that's cool.
Talking about sci-fi reminded me of it.
Any of these come out this year? Or?
Oh, God. Well, actually, The Last in the Dust. The Last in the Silo.
Dust.
The Last One in the Silo Saga came out in June. That was pretty good. I really liked the Silo.
Another good finale. That's nice.
Yeah, they did a good job. Have you finished it yet?
No, I only finished Wool. I haven't started reading Shift.
Oh shit, dude! Yeah, you got to read that.
I'm reading Consider Phlebas right now, so I.
Oh okay, yeah. Well, that's a good good expenditure of your time. That book ruled. All those Banks books are awesome. I can't remember if it was this year or last year that I was reading the. Oh no, for sure it was this year that I was reading some of the what's that guy's name? Altered Carbon and those books. Those are
yeah,
good.
You talked about those before. Yeah.
Yeah. He wrote another book that's a standalone called 13 that I think is my favorite of his books because it's got... I love the Takashi Kovacs series a lot, but... and especially I like the way that it ends. Like, each book is a different... In a sense, a different style of book. Like, the first one is a hard-boiled, like, crime novel type thing. And then, or, you know, like a detective thriller kind of thing. The second one is like a war story almost. Yeah, kind of. And then the third one is like a I don't know what the right word is. It's like it's a thriller where he's kind of like at once trying to it's sort of a mix between a heist on the one hand and like an escape on the other. Like he's running away from somebody, but he's also like trying to recover some information, and it's all three of those books are really good. But the standalone called 13 is a good summary of his of what the hell is the author's name? Doesn't matter. Of the author's, I'll pull it up. Style of writing, and it actually takes place, I think, in the same universe, just much earlier. So it actually happens on Earth.
And it stands alone. It sounds like
it does stand alone, and it's about a character. Like the character in this book is. it's also kind of a detective story again, but I don't know. It does a good job of summarizing like this author's sensibilities in writing sci-fi, and it's a really enjoyable book. Let me pull up the author real quick, but I'd start with 13 just because it's.
Did either of you guys say Four for the Money?
No. What's...
Or I'm probably getting the name wrong. It was the one about the magicians. The pulled heist came out early summer.
Now You See Me.
Yes, thank you. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. The reviews were bad.
That's I all saw I part of it in the gym, and I enjoyed what I saw.
Really?
So, yeah. It was pretty cool.
I wanted to see it. I just didn't get to it. I mean, the reviews don't really.
It didn't blow me away, but I was enjoying it.
Yeah.
Now, I should also state, I've watched the first 30 minutes of Snow White and the Huntsman in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I should have bailed out. I made the mistake of finishing that movie.
Oh, my God.
What is wrong with you?
Seriously.
Although, Kristen Stewart and plate mail at the end almost made it worthwhile.
Nice. How did she move?
I don't. Badly. Like everything else she does on film. Richard Morgan.
I'm sorry. Richard Morgan, the author of... In the UK, the book was called Black Man, but it was released in the US as 13.
As African American.
No, it was released as 13 in the US by Richard Morgan. Check it out. It's pretty awesome.
Cool.
I've read so many goddamn books this year.
You read like 50?
Yeah, I'm over 50 now. I've been catching up on like a bunch of classic sci-fi. That's more than one per week. Yeah, there were some weeks where I read like 3 or 4 books. I mean, certainly like The Wheel of Time got me.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Well, that
kickstarted me really nicely because I was reading fucking two and a half of those a week. That was a fuckload of reading. Most of the books I've read have not been that long. Like, certainly not like 1,000+ pages each. They're sort of reasonable novel length books.
It's always weird to come away from one of those Martin-esque or Jordan length novels and then read like an actual book again. It's like, oh, all right, I can actually finish this in like, you know, less than a month.
Yeah.
It's only a few hundred pages.
Yeah, it's like striking how short those books feel now. It's like, wow, yeah, fuck, I can tear through these in no time, right? But I had never read it before, but last night I finished Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Oh, wow, all right.
By Philip K. Dick.
Yeah, classic.
It's, well, so remember, Blade Runner is kind of loosely based on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And certainly that's the case. Like, there are characters in common. The world isn't really the same. Like, the setting isn't mm-hmm. identical. But the basic premise is there. Decker is a... Deckard?
I thought it was...
Deckard.
Rick Deckard, yeah.
Decker is Star Trek.
Yes. V'ger.
We all shuddered.
Shut up, that was an even-numbered one. Right?
No.
No, that was not another one. That was one.
It's okay, it's not your fault. You didn't make it.
Anyway. No, but I brought it up accidentally. So Deckard is a bounty hunter. He is hunting androids. They're, the basics are there. The way they tell the story is different. And in a sense, the outcome is a little different.
Did he rewrite it 7 times?
Nice.
Have you guys heard this nonsense? There apparently is going to be a Blade Runner sequel.
Yeah.
Yes. God. No. I'll watch it. Whatever. I mean, come on.
I might kill myself afterwards.
You don't know what you're signing up for. Well, but let me have some.
It doesn't matter because if I don't like it the first time, I'll wait for the director's cut and then the director's
when they get rid of the voiceover, everything will be fine.
No. You gotta have it. There's a correct way of watching Blade Runner, and if you haven't watched it yet, this is the way to go. You watch it with
Blade
the voice.
On me.
You watch it with the voiceover the first time you watch it, and only the first time. That way, you have to struggle through the voiceover. Kind of sucks, but it gives you information that you wouldn't otherwise have. Now, armed with that information, you go back and watch it without the voiceover. That makes it a better movie.
Now, when you say voiceover, you mean the commentary track?
No,
like,
there's...
Harrison Deckard has, like, this voiceover.
There's an inner monologue.
Like a Sin City.
Yeah, like, as they're, like, zooming over the city at the beginning or whatever, he's, like, actually talking
Is that in the theatrical or in the director's? It's one of them, and then the other doesn't
have it.
I thought the director's cut didn't have it, but I'm not 100%
I think you're
sure.
Right. I think the theatrical cut has the voiceover, and then the director's cut doesn't.
I think I've seen the
And so
cut.
What you have to do is you watch it with the voiceover once, or somehow just, like, learn what the whole movie is about, and so that you don't... Because there are details that you're missing otherwise, but then once you get those details, then you watch it without that, and it's like, this is awesome. So I will totally watch the next one.
All right. That sounds cool.
I've always really liked Blade Runner. I did enjoy it. I like the setting, like that type of setting, the sort of gritty future Earth, like that cyberpunk thing. There's a lot of...
I was completely in at the 22nd mark when I realized it was Vangelis as a soundtrack. Yeah, I was like, all right. I got comfortable. I was like, all right, I've been here for the long haul. Let's do this.
You know, related to this, have you guys watched that show Almost Human? With Carl Urban?
No, but it's
new.
I kind of want to.
Yeah, you should watch it.
Yeah, is it good?
Yeah, it's buddy cop, android and human. So
does it deal with the classic thing where like androids aren't considered human, but they're so good they have feelings? And
well,
so,
there's
like...
a certain model of android that does have feelings, but most of them go crazy, so they've decommissioned the whole model. And like every police officer is assigned. Police officers don't have human partners. So there's one cop and one android. It follows them around, and most of them act human-ish, but they're kind of the actor that plays like one of the models that's like copied a bunch, like clearly, you know, not very. There's definitely an Uncanny Valley kind of thing.
Okay.
But then, for a lot of reasons, they like take out of mothballs one of the feeling androids, and they partner him up with Carl Urban's character, and like, but Carl Urban lost his part of his leg in the first episode, so he's part android, and the android's trying to be kind of more human, so there's kind of that contrast. And they just, the android fucks with Carl Urban so many times in such weird ways. Like, it just, you just have to watch it. It's interesting.
And the rest they got Carl Urban for the lead.
Yeah, and their budget is somewhat big for that show.
It does look really nice. Yeah,
like they had an insane media blitz for that show. Yeah. They had like months of.
Yeah. I assume, yeah, which led me to believe it probably was expensive. They're like, this has to make money.
yeah, true.
I mean, the first episode they got like the CGI leg and like he's walking around and doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Since then, they've kind of, you know, he wears pants all the time. You know, they don't see him waking up with the boxers and you know, stuff. But the guy that plays Dorian, God, his name escapes me now. But he's really good. I think Dorian for me is the draw more than Carl Urban actually. Carl Urban kind of is a little bit too much of a foil right now for me.
Oh.
Or like a stereotypical kind of broken cop guy.
Damn it, McTetris.
Yeah, that kid.
The BBC Sherlock I'm observing is kind of like that. Sherlock is so broken that it really is kind of Watson and his quirky. this genius. He's like, you know, trying to point in the right direction.
Yeah. I enjoy that more. Like, and in Almost Human, I just enjoy Dorian, who's the name of the android. Like, mm-hmm. just how he screws with John, who Carl Urban plays. But it's been fun. It's been 5 episodes in or so. It's
cool.
Best thing out of Fox. Oh no. One of the best things out of Fox. Sleepy Hollow was the other one.
I was going to say Sleepy Hollow.
They just fully embraced the crazy to like new levels to make that keep going. There's just no other way to describe it.
Okay, I was going to ask because I thought you had been watching this.
Oh yeah,
is that worth watching? Seriously,
it is. I gotta say. Like, just,
how do you turn that into a fucking serial story and then make it a good one?
So Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman are tied together for reasons you just watch the show to figure out, and they are both basically frozen in time, and they wake up in the present day. And then the Headless Horseman is actually one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. He's Death. And, like, there's this whole thing of, like, this demon is trying to get all the horsemen together to, like, take over the Earth. And so he's controlling the Headless Horseman, who now, by the way, like, he was a Hessian in the... In the past, and he had his head chopped off by Ichabod, and so now he rolls around. He's got like this axe that like superheats its blade just magically or whatever, and he throws it. But now that he's in the modern day. He's also got a shotgun and
nice
and an M4. He's just walking
around.
I like
how Death adapts. Yes, like, whatever. Yes. We'll take it.
Yeah, it's just this dude with no head walking around with a shotgun, killing dudes, and it's pretty fun. And then Ichabod Crane is like this British dude. You know, out of time, so you get all the fish out of water, funny stuff. And his partner, her name is Abigail Mills, she's a police officer in the town of Sleepy Hollow, which they put like in Rhode Island or something. And so she's African American. So he's like, "Are you a free slave?" You know, they like treat those things really well. They do it really well. It's not as campy as I thought it was going to be. And I don't know, Cyrus, you've seen some of it, right?
Like, no.
You haven't? Okay.
So it's not like
it's
that.
Not as campy as you'd imagine it would be. It's way less campy. They take it seriously in the right way to just. Like, you just watch, and they keep amping the crazy. Like, they add more magic stuff, they add more plot twists that are crazy, and it just gets better and better, man. Orlando Jones is in it.
Oh, I miss that guy.
Yeah, he's in it. He plays a serious role. Like
he's a 7-Up song.
He's not selling 7-Up. And the guy who plays Ichabod is really good. He's doing a real good job selling that whole role, which is just insane to even consider. And they flash back to George Washington. Like, George Washington's Bible has some key things that they need to fight the Four Horsemen. And he knew George Washington because he was part of this secret society of Freemasons. And they just spin it up to the point where they have to make
that's
it keep
fun,
going.
That's fun, though.
Yeah, Dan Brown is a writer on this.
It's way better than whatever Dan Brown could come up with.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, just watch it. That Arrow, Almost Human.
All right, so television was a big winner in 2013.
In a way, I guess.
Breaking Bad ended. Breaking Mad Men was good again.
Mad Men was good.
Mad Men was fantastic.
Damn, Mad Men was good.
Yeah. I hear... I don't watch it. I haven't gotten around to it yet. But I understand The Walking Dead had another good season.
That's what I hear. Yeah. I gave up on it a while ago, but I'm kind of enticed to go back.
Yeah.
I only watched the first couple episodes, and I was barely paying attention. I was doing other things, and I had it on in the background because it was on Netflix.
Well, I finally read the first 12 issues of the comic book, and I was unimpressed.
Yeah, I mean, God, it's really hard for me to just sink my teeth into another fucking zombie story. I don't care how well it's told. It's
just, you know, God. I'm glad I actually accidentally brought it up. I saw part of World War Z. It's not bad.
I enjoyed World War Z.
Yeah. I don't
for what it was. I haven't read the book, and I know it's different than the book.
Yeah.
So,
I'm cool with both of them being good in their own different way. That'd be kind of awesome.
It's sad that they're called the same thing. Like, it's sad that we expected. Yeah. And I understand that they have some events that coincide. Like, mm-hmm. there's the okay. big battle in New York against mm-hmm. the zombies that I think happens in both, or at least early. Well, I haven't seen the film.
I'm not finished
but
it.
Early like marketing material for it had this concept art that was part of the story from the book, and also so who knows if it survived. But I think like from the trailers, it looks like at least some remnant of that survived. So maybe like I think the idea is that it happens in the same universe, but clearly it's not the same story.
Yeah,
which
I mean,
is fine. Like
in New York, they don't spend a lot of time. Like that's when they figure out that there's a zombie attack going on, like the main character does, because he's in the middle of traffic when it happens.
Uh-huh.
And they're trapped there for a while, but he manages to get himself out. Like, Brad Pitt, the spin on his character is, he's like this, is it UN? I don't know if it's UN or if he's some sort of U.S. agency. Like, he's like a problem solver. He has a very particular set of skills.
I see.
When you're taken by a zombie, he kills everybody. He's like used to emergency response. They kind of make him more like an emergency response guy.
He's a hot zone responder.
Hot zone responder type of guy. I think it was for the UN. And so he's got all these contacts that like he uses to like get himself out, and then he becomes associated with the operations to figure out why the outbreak happened and how to stop it.
Well, they leverage his family against him.
And they do. That's what I was going to get to next is like he brokers a deal to like get his family into safety in one of these ships that I guess they just have floating in the ocean. But they're like, well, you're going to have to help to solve this if we're going to have your family stay on board. And that kind of drives his investigation.
See. Okay, so it sounds like they did really the part for the most part.
There's this badass Israeli soldier lady in that film, the character. Huh. She is awesome. You know, she loses her hand, and she's still one of the most badass people in the rest of the movie without a hand.
Nice.
Because she gets bitten, and they just chink, chop it off.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait, do they have combination axe shovels that they fight the zombies?
No, I didn't see any.
Because that actually does happen in the book. Oh. That's like one of the...
There's this big scene in Israel where they have like a... Yeah, they build this huge wall. I don't know if they have that in the novel or not.
I saw that in the trailer, but no.
They build this huge wall and they're like successful for a while, but then it goes bad.
So the novel is a memoir almost. Like it's a bunch of different stories that all like are pictures of what happened during this global event. And so some of them are, you know, well before it or just at the beginning of it, and like, you know, only a couple people are. And then some of it takes place, like, it's like the last few people who are not zombies trying to get out of China or something, right? but a lot of it is just telling about, like, it's more like a history than a action oriented. But then, like, towards the most of the early part of the book is like that. Once you get into it, then they focus a lot on retaking America from the zombies. So, like, basically the zombies spread out across the U.S. and then push everyone back behind the, like, west of the Rockies. And then they sort of establish a foothold there. The humans establish a foothold there and then push back. And they have to go, like, city by city, like, street by street, sweeping out, killing all the zombies. So they tell...
Did they explain, like... Because at the end of World War Z, they kind of explain a way that they can kind of gain the foothold with, like, there's a biological
discovery. They just fight them?
Okay. No. Yeah, the movie twists in a different way to allow them to fight and not be overwhelmed. Because the zombies... I don't know what the zombies are like in the novel. Are they fast zombies like they are in the film? Because in the film, they're, like,
they're super fast.
They're like ant zombies, too. They pile on top of each other to, like, get to places, and they have this weird, like, hive type of... mentality.
At least in the portion of the movie I've seen, they describe it as like a new form of rabies.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. And the way they just behave in packs and stuff seemed different. And so it was hard for them to like even fight them because more keep piling in.
Yeah, that's similar to the behavior they're certainly not the slow, shambling horde types anyway. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to commit to another zombie story. Like, I'm zombied out.
Welcome to my world.
I'm ready for us to progress beyond the undead for another 5 years before some other Mormon writes a vampire porn.
we've got vampires unto death, zombies unto death.
Oh, really?
And beyond. Zombies unto death. I agree.
Wonder Mummy's going to get their due. Come on.
Mummies? Yeah. They're remaking the Mummy. I think.
Oh, God.
Like the Brendan Fraser film. I think they're remaking that thing. Which is like, why are you remaking something that came out in 1996? But whatever.
Can't they remake Hellraiser or something? Wouldn't that be awesome?
But like, you work for Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, they remade something that came out when? That came out 2001?
2001, yeah. Reboots!
Reboots, yeah.
The kids love them.
Yeah. Wait long enough. Wait long enough is what, 5 years? And then, we'll just tell the origin story again.
Whatever.
I recently watched Batman Returns again. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of my favorite holiday movies now.
I'm sorry, it must...
Die Hard, man.
Bad Santa.
It's still... It's really... I think it's my favorite of the non-Nolan ones.
Hmm.
I mean, I like that first one still, obviously. Yeah. But that one is... DeVito and Pfeiffer are both really good in that movie. I think that got lost in the fact, but I mean, shit, Danny DeVito could play that character today. I think.
he does almost. It's Almost Sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Dude, yeah. I've been watching the latest season that's on Netflix of Almost Sunny. Holy shit!
It's
funny shit.
Yeah.
So shit rules. Another thing we mentioned last night that we got to bring. So the two Die Hard in the White House films, Olympus Has Fallen and White House Down. Yes. I was making comparisons to Die Hard. Olympus Has Fallen is more like Die Hard 1 in the White House. And White House Down is more like Die Hard 3. And I heartily recommend White House Down over Olympus Has Fallen. Now I've seen both. Mm. C. Tate's and Jamie Foxx, way cool combination. That film was really well done, I gotta say.
That's awesome.
I'm glad we're getting an Oscar season, though. I mean, the fun films are fun, but I'm ready for something with
something serious.
what's the Oscar?
American Hustle comes out Christmas Day.
So what is that about?
I have no idea, but I know everyone in it's like super talented.
There's 12 Years a Slave is like Oscar bait.
The
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah.
Scorsese.
Is that Scorsese? I was going to say, I saw the preview and I'm like, that's got to be a Scorsese movie, right?
Yeah.
Moral Corrupt, DiCaprio, check. All right, yeah, it's Scorsese.
Scorsese hasn't made a bad film in a really long time. I've really enjoyed all of his recent films. I mean, I don't think he's ever made a truly bad film, but like he hasn't missed in a long time. Like, was Gaze of New York not very popular?
Gaze of New York.
Gaze of New York. The movie about Chelsea.
I'm
I'm not moving to Chelsea.
Hello, Amsterdam. I'm New York.
But Gangs of New York, I think it didn't do so well in the theaters, maybe? This was a long time ago.
Daniel Day-Lewis, man.
It was awesome. Daniel I loved Day-Lewis. That movie.
DiCaprio wasn't there.
He wasn't great in that movie, but Daniel Day-Lewis was.
Oh, yeah.
Insert film with Daniel Day-Lewis in it. He's great.
That was like that made that movie. Like, that was a good movie. I enjoyed the shit out of that movie.
And of course, DiCaprio, actually, this is the thing no one wants to talk about, but the first part of his career, he's actually really bad.
Oh, yeah, he was bad until the next movie, the next Scorsese movie after Gangs of New York was the one when he learned to act.
I would actually would pick the one that he did with Spielberg, Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, he was.
It's him and Hanks in 02. Yeah, that one's his first really good one.
I didn't really love that movie, but sure, it was a good, it was, he acted pretty well in it.
Yeah.
Was, Departed was like 05 or something.
Yeah. Didn't they do one called like Shutter Island?
He's good in Departed.
He was good in Shutter
Island. He's good in Shutter Island too, yeah.
Inception.
Yeah.
He was good.
He's got there now, but early on, it's like,
yeah.
What other ones has he done recently that have been...
Scorsese or DiCaprio?
But both. I care more about Scorsese.
They're kind of in, they're kind of, you know, hand in glove right now.
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time Scorsese made a movie that DiCaprio wasn't in? Seriously, I'm asking that. I think it's been a long time.
Probably said pre-Gangs of New York.
It might be.
I'm going to try to look this up because I'm interested. How deep does that rabbit hole go?
Yeah,
I'm totally going to. I'll absolutely watch that. That's going to be cool.
I'm sure that'll be great.
Goodfellas, was that the last Scorsese movie?
He developed Scorsese maybe. Made Hugo. It was like that animated film.
Oh, that's right. That flopped, as I recall.
No, like, I mean, well, it may have flopped, but, like, it was critically acclaimed, I think, because it was good for kids.
Oh, okay.
Shutter Island was in 2010. Hugo was in 2011. Shine a Light, was that the Rolling Stones? Yeah, that was the Rolling Stones, like, docudrama thing.
Hmm.
The Departed was 2006. The Aviator, which also had DiCaprio, was 2004.
I knew we were forgetting one,
yeah.
Gangs of New York, 02. Casino.
Oh, so Casino. 02 as well.
Casino.
So 02 was the year he figured it out.
Yeah, for DiCaprio. Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
I liked Casino. That was a good movie. I loved those mob movies. Like there were a series of mob movies that came out late 90s, early 2000s.
Goodfellas.
Good.
Goodfellas
was also
Scorsese. He wrote it or something. Maybe he didn't.
No, he directed.
He directed.
Yeah. Goodfellas, Casino. There was maybe a couple others. Oh yeah, Donnie Brasco was good. That had Johnny Depp in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I need to make a point to watch more mob films. I haven't seen most of them, to be real honest.
Well, I mean, you should watch The Godfather Part 1 and Part 2.
I've not finished The Godfather Part 1, but yeah.
1, 2, skip 3.
yeah, that's what
then watch, like, I don't know. Yeah, they're
Goodfellas.
Watch Goodfellas, it's good. Yeah. Casino's good.
I hear good things about Heat as well.
Heat is fantastic. Yeah. Heat is an awesome movie. But it's not a mob movie, it's a heist movie kind of.
That's okay.
But no, it's Michael Mann,
so it's like so staid is maybe the right word I'm looking for. Michael Mann just like he wants you to be more interested in like the plotting than the characters necessarily.
Yeah.
So he like really wants, like he's got really all those details and he's like walks you through. And so I don't know, you have to be in the right mood for it. Same with the Miami Vice.
You don't love Heat.
Huh? I like Heat, but I'm not like super in love with it.
I think that's a good.
The Miami Vice reboot was the same way. If you watch the Miami Vice reboot, it's Michael Mann. Like he wants you to know all the ins and outs. All the ins and outs. He shows it to you, all of it, and you just have to be able to tolerate that.
Yeah.
As good or bad as it may be.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, characters are definitely secondary in his work, which is not necessarily the worst thing in the world. But sure.
What other ones have I seen? Have
mob films? Scarface?
Sure.
I don't know. I don't think it's too many other ones.
I'm sure there's been a steady stream of mob films, really, even before The Godfather, but even ever since there have been.
Popular theory holds replaced the Western.
Oh,
interesting. In American pop culture.
Maybe.
Does The Untouchables count?
Hmm. As which one?
Yes. I've still never seen that.
That's worth watching. I think that's on Netflix.
Is it?
I think it's on Netflix.
That's sweet. Yeah, that's
yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. Not really thinking of too many other mob films. First off, like, oh yeah, it should be able to.
What other genres are just like fantastically fun to watch? Just, I mean, obviously any action movie, right? We already had a whole fucking many episodes discussing the ins and outs of action movies.
Yeah,
I meant something maybe a little more specific than that. But I miss good Western. I know I've said that before too.
I know.
Oh man,
it's been a while too. Although, like I said, there's that Klondike one coming out on Discovery.
Klondike. Yeah.
Well, it's about the gold rush.
Oh.
Not the ice cream bar.
Oh, yes. I figured that
what
much.
What would you do?
310 to Yuma. 310 to Yuma is a
I was going to say 310 to Yuma was good.
Oh, yeah. Is that Nolan?
You didn't like it, huh?
I liked it.
Oh, okay. I thought we were...
I don't think it's Nolan directed. It does have Christian Bale in it.
Yeah.
And Russell Crowe. Remake of the freaking film with John Wayne. That came out a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago now. Jesus.
Oh yeah, of course. You're talking about True Grit.
True Grit.
True Grit was.
Oh right, that won like a fucking Oscar, right?
Yeah, I think it did. Maybe more than one. I don't know.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of those coming out nowadays.
But the
is weird because when they come out, they're awesome.
Well, I was going to say probably what the reason that we only see good ones is because you're not going to get them green light. You're not going to get a green light for it unless it's like somebody big making it and they've got like a strong play for it, because the studios aren't like soliciting Westerns, right?
Yeah.
So you get some big name coming to you and says, look, I want to make this Western. I'm going to make it work because I have a great story and I'm me.
And Jeff Bridges.
I have a great story and a dude and, you know. This dude.
Man. Yeah. That's true. Westerns.
I was to argue that Tombstone was like one of the best guy movies ever.
Oh yeah, Tombstone was awesome.
You know, I kind of wish that they would go back on a, like, I don't know, early 2000s. They kind of were on a sci-fi kick where, you know, they were making a lot of near future sci-fi movies. That's a genre that could, you can mix that with action really well, like in Dread. I guess they've done that recently.
Yeah.
Actually, Dread was fun.
And District 13B.
District B-13, the French thing you're talking about?
Yes, damn it, they get it backwards, son of a bitch.
Or are you talking about
District 9?
District 9, which
no, that would have been an actual real answer to that, not my stupid joke answer.
And shit,
District B-13
Elysium
is awesome.
Too, right?
Elysium,
You know, Elysium had problems with it.
And
know,
Prometheus?
That was a movie that came out this year, right? Elysium?
Mm-hmm. Elysium came out this year.
We didn't hit that.
Gravity came out this year? I have not seen it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You're talking about Gravity?
Yeah.
Did you see Gravity?
I did not.
Do you want
to? I'm trying
to
figure out why I did not see it.
Okay, so Sid.
I heard really good things
Sid,
about it.
Sid saw it and said, meh. Like, he thought it was actually, like, it turned into this sort of mushy, syrupy, like, oh my god, look at how great this person is who's going to die.
It became breakfast, I got it.
Yeah, you know, it became
the pancake, they just kept pouring the syrup on the pancake. And the pancake dissolved in the syrup.
He said the beginning was good, but then it just turned into this mushy, like, kind of gross human interest piece. So, I could totally see that. Elysium was fun, right? I mean, you saw it.
I did not.
Oh, did you?
I haven't seen it either, man.
Wait, I'm the only one who's seen Elysium? Are you fucking kidding me?
Our views were very lukewarm.
I didn't get a chance.
It was fun. It had very much the same feel as District 9 in terms of the, like, you know, the poverty and the people just living in this, you know, hellish wasteland. And then the contrast between that and, like, on Elysium. And, you know, the tech was fun. Everything was kind of cool. It was fun. It was a decent movie. I mean, like, it had some issues with...
I think that particular political message is very polarizing right now.
Well, the Tea Party definitely did not like Elysium.
That's what I'm saying, and you know,
I mean, it was basically sci-fi Obamacare. It was like the end of the movie is we reboot the computer and now all the magic medical robots give healthcare to everybody. It was literally sci-fi Obamacare. That was the movie.
I know, and then when you know
that's funny.
The far right pundits hear about this stuff, they tend to like bitch about it, and then people stay away. I think In Time suffered from that as well back in 2010.
In Time
with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. That's the one where time is money. Time has become currency, literally. Yeah.
That's right. You spend your longevity on stuff.
Yeah.
But you liked that, as I recall.
I enjoyed the hell out of In Time, yeah.
I should see that.
I've seen it. Yeah, it was enjoyable.
Yeah. I wish it had better, stronger actors, but...
Yeah, well...
But yeah, they should have added Britney Spears.
There you go. That's all was missing. Wow. Because, I mean, you know... Like, if you cast that film today, like...
it would be Bieber. And,
no, I think you put Natalie Dormer in the safe read role.
Wait, but should she get naked?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because,
I mean, otherwise you can't.
Not a hard R. Not Dormer naked, but naked.
We'll see. Okay, so it's going to be an R movie now instead of a PG-13. I get it.
I'm holding out hope that she has him typecast as a lemon-stealing whore, but...
Those whores are stealing our lemons!
Timberlake could be played by anyone else, I think, and be okay.
Wow.
Man.
I would assume it's Chris Hemsworth because he's in everything.
Well, I was going to say it's going to be Jeremy Renner then, right?
Jeremy Renner. That works too. Or Channing Tatum. It's one of the big three.
Tate is everywhere now, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's taking off. His shirt. And
hey.
A little more Carl
Urban, a little angrier.
Yeah.
A little more punching.
Actually, it would be Tatum, because he could play like the blue collar character better. Mm-hmm. That's true. It would be Tatum and Dormer.
No, we're gonna go the Elysium route and make it.
Damon.
Damon. He could totally play the blue collar guy.
The problem is in the film you only age to 25. Damon's pushing 40. Nothing looks bad or anything. But, you know he lives in Hollywood for God's sake.
So, wait, only age... I'm telling you, Bieber is the right way to go here, guys. That movie will make money. Forget about making...
It will. It will make money. It will print freaking money, man. That's so true.
Well, that's what happened to those Harry Potter films down the line. They realized, it doesn't matter if they're good. We just need to get them out on an annual basis.
Get them out fast while the actors still look like themselves.
Right.
That's the optimistic take on it. That's what's happening there.
Get them out fast while the money is still there to be taken.
Yeah. Before the kids that read those books grow out of it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's probably more apt, yes.
I know a lot of adults who religiously read those books and went to the movies. Not me, but I know a lot of people who did, so.
I watched the first... four films. The first two are actually really well done. Chris Columbus nailed them. The third film is an incoherent mess. The fourth one is not good.
What's the title sometimes?
All right, let me see if I got this. The Secret Chamber.
Chamber of Secrets?
Yes. That's the second one. I would argue the film is better than the book.
Goblet of Fire is
The Prisoner of
Azkaban.
Of Azkaban.
That's Alfonso Cuarón. That's the same guy that directed Gravity.
Wait, is that Children three? Of Men?
That's three.
That's one of my favorite.
Children of Men? Hold up. Yeah. Back up. That guy did Gravity?
Yes.
I liked that movie.
Yes.
Children of Men. That was a fun movie.
I did too. Yeah. He made... God, because Prisoner of Azkaban is really bad.
People
make bad movies. It's very blue, literally. It's like everything is a tint of blue. Very monochrome. No. And I couldn't... I read the novel and I couldn't follow the damn movie.
Harry Potter, the Prisoner of Azkaban. In 2001?
Jesus.
And,
those have been coming out forever.
Children of Men.
Goblet of Fire is not good. I've seen part of the fifth one, actually, and it was also shit.
Order of the Phoenix, I think, is that one?
Yeah.
You know, I say these names, but I haven't actually watched a lot of them.
No, I gave up. And then six is... The Half-Blood Prince.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
That's number seven. No, it happens in six. You're right.
In six.
I'm right.
I don't even know. I was just saying that. I was just throwing that.
Part one, part two, right?
Deathly Hallows. Seven got split, and seven is Deathly Hallows.
Mm-hmm.
The books are good. And they're excellent children's literature. I love the way the reading level goes up as you go.
Oh, interesting.
Like, it grows up with
she kid. Drops her first F-bomb in book 6 or so.
It's 7, yes. Yes, there's an F-bomb.
Wow! Okay, wow. I like that better.
Yeah, it's excellent. I was like, all right, props to you, Raleigh.
Wow.
If you were 9 when you started this, you're 16 now. You can handle this.
Of course, that works if you're reading them while they're coming out. But now that they're all out, you're going to have a 9-year-old who starts them and then is like, I want to keep reading, and reads all of them in like 6 months, and then drop like bombs by the time they're 10. You know what? I knew the word fuck way before I was 10.
So. Oh, yeah. Most people do. I kind of pity people that they have illusions about that kind of shit anymore. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Do you live in a box?
Yeah, it is true. It is true.
Yeah. None of these books came out in 2013, though.
No.
No, I'm struggling to think. Oh, didn't Warren Ellis' most recent novel
Gun
come
Machine?
Out? Gun Machine came out
Dead
either...
Pig...
Dead Pig Collector is a short story. I read that too.
It's a novella, if you will.
Yeah.
No?
Is it novella length? Yeah, I guess it is novella length. Yeah. It was good. I mean, I sat down and read it. And I was waiting for something. It was fun. It was good. It was... I thought, what was the first one he did? Crooked Little Vein. I almost said Jagged Little Pill. Crooked Little Vein.
I would totally listen to that album if you
Crooked Little Vein, I think, was better than Gun Machine. Gun Machine was trying to be really good, and it was good, but it wasn't really good. Like it almost got there, but it just didn't have quite the grit that I wanted in a mystery book.
You know, one television show we missed, Ariel.
Which one?
It would be Advancing Giants. A.K.A. Attack on Titan, A.K.A. on something else in Japanese I can't actually say or pronounce.
Shingeki no Kyojin is
there
what you're looking for.
What he said. I was going to say it. He just beat me to it.
That's what the prompt was for. I knew he knew it. Really excellent.
Yeah. Freaking...
Is that coming out now? That's like presently
the,
being made.
The
on hiatus.
Anime series has ended its first season and it's on hiatus, I think, to just give the manga some time. The manga doesn't come out week to week like most traditional manga do.
Oh.
It actually, he builds it up and then publishes like a tankobon, like a volume at a time.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think it's a heated.
Oh, message. That's why it's selling so well.
Yeah, I think it's because...
I noticed it beat One Piece.
Oh, really?
Which is a big deal. Because One Piece is like, you know... King
they're like writing like spin-offs now. Like there's going to be at least one, maybe two other manga that like branch off in that world and tell other stories. While the main stuff's going on.
That's a really big deal for a Japanese story to be published in that manner.
Yeah, I think so. How many
episodes are there then? There's only like a
25 or 26.
Oh, that's right.
I think 25. I think you're right, Sarah. There's 25 episodes that kind of end a particular story arc in the show. It is bleak as hell. If you want something that's different than zombies, but in the same has the similar type of tension.
Yeah, it's survival horror.
It's survival horror, but no zombies. Instead, you have Titans.
Is it a sci-fi type?
It's like a steampunk fantasy type of environment.
So it's not like a space thing. It's like on a planet.
It's on Earth. And humans versus giants, basically. And the giants eat humans for no apparent nutritional reason. And so there's a mystery about why the giants exist. And humanity's carved out like this concentric circular walled area where all the remaining humans live. And the very first issue, in the first episode, these they call them Titans instead of giants. The Titan, a larger Titan than they've ever seen before, that's 60 meters tall, appears out of nowhere.
So he's and a, just a class kicks, 3 kaiju.
Sort of. And he kicks the wall in.
Actually, yeah.
He kicks the wall in, and the Titans start flooding into the first wall of the human enclave, if you will. And they kill everybody in there. And it's like this whole story about the main character kind of figuring out, like living in this world, and it's kind of depressing, and then how he decides to fight back. In his own way, and how like he starts to like become more and more important. It's nuts. There's like a twist in like the after like 6 or 7 episodes that I don't want to spoil for those of you who haven't watched it. That kind of really really changes things in the way it really sets up the real story.
It's very good at introducing twists actually in general.
Yeah.
I'm ready to watch this.
You can watch it on Crunchyroll or there's other services too. I think that stream it. It was super popular this year. Like, it was everywhere. It's the anime of 2013, I think, if I were to say so. And, yeah. But it's on hiatus now. They're giving the manga some time. Oh, the manga, there's way more issues of the manga, like story that already exists. So yeah. They could theoretically, I think, start. I think they're just trying to avoid the Bleach and Naruto problem of filler arcs and crap like that on the anime side of things. But it is, man, it's a good. It's just bleak as hell.
It's well animated too. They drew the hell out of it. Oh yeah,
man! Like they said, have your budget. Here you go. And also the
who is it? Who's doing it?
What studio? God,
I can look it up.
Production IG, I think, might be doing.
Okay.
Huh. But Madhouse sometimes fills in, I think, periodically. But the opening animation, like the theme song, is like this Japanese band that's trying to be like German metal.
Nice.
Like, it's pretty cool. Nice. I gotta say. Because, like, a lot of the names of the characters are all German. It's kind of, you kind of get the idea that it's probably set in Germany, but they don't tell you that.
The main character is Eric Jaeger. Nice.
It's cool. It's nice. It's very cool. Aaron Jaeger is the name of the main character. One of the main characters.
Oh, it is Aaron! Yeah, you're right. I forgot. Jaeger. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I started watching... I will never remember the whole fucking title. It's ridiculous. It's a comedy. My mental problems. I choose are interfering with my team romantic comedy.
Oh yeah. I've heard
like,
of it.
Like it's got a it's like a Fiona Apple album title name, but it's pretty funny.
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, it's about a kid who like he has like these multiple choices that keep popping up over things. He's forced to choose. And they're horrible, horrible choices that are presented to him.
That's awesome.
I'm watching Kill la Kill.
I saw that was a popular one, too.
I think that's Gainax. Is it Gainax?
I believe you're right.
The latest Gainax one.
I think you're absolutely right.
It's really freaking crazy, I gotta say. But it's like super stylized, and they're making fun of the magical girl genre. So they're like... Why are you all naked all the time? And what are these weird superpowers and stuff like that? But you know, it's cool. I have to say, it's just weird. It's that oddball type of stuff.
It's what Gainax does.
You know. But 2013 anime 2013 gotta go to Attack on Titan.
Oh yeah,
gotta go there.
That's the winner.
And since it's self-contained, I highly recommend watching it.
Like, all right, I'm gonna go for it.
Like it's really cool. All
right,
good. Time. I was looking forward to that every week to get my fix. And the manga you can get on Amazon and read it on your Kindle.
Very true.
So you can I've that was the manga that I started experimenting with reading.
Now, when you read manga on your Kindle, do you actually swipe right to left?
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yes, you do.
I was joking. Shit, that's awesome.
No, they preserved all that shit.
That's pretty great. Well, it makes sense, right? Technologically, it's simple, and they may as well preserve that feeling, right?
Yeah.
What they're trying to do is convey the feeling.
That's how I read that manga. Like, nice. I'll just do it on Kindle now. There's no reason to buy paper copies. And I think Bleach finally made it to the Kindle store as well. So, hallelujah. I don't have to carry boxes with those fucking
manga.
Nice.
Some of those series are just... Jesus.
Gotta go paperless, man. Gotta go paperless.
You do, because One Piece is in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah. Of volumes, yeah.
I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah. That's first world problems.
Right?
Right, exactly.
Well, as a person who's recently sold off
all of the
Forsaken the material in search of the spiritual.
Forsaken the material in
in search of the virtual? I
don't know. Yeah, exactly.
The metaphysical?
Yeah, no, I just have it all on a hard drive instead. I mean, shit. It is much nicer to be able to just, like, every book that I could possibly want to read, I have, well, not pop, every, but I have, like, 50 books on my phone.
The cloud is your friend, man. The cloud is your friend.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. For sure.
2013, it was fun. I think we're going to wrap it up.
2 hours.
This is short for us.
Yeah, we did pretty well. I think we stayed focused the whole time.
Yeah, I think so.
No tangents whatsoever. I was clean, straight to the point.
We delivered information and we got out. That's it.
And just in case,
you took notes.
For the people who didn't get that inside joke earlier, it's safe work, I think. You should probably search for Lemon Stealing Whores on YouTube.
Don't search for that. No. Don't search for it at work, but search for it on YouTube for sure. Lemon Stealing Whores.
Yeah, it's not.
It's hilarious. That's what it
is. But it's not suitable for horse. So keep that in mind.
It's just a weird. It's just the weirdest thing that I've seen lately.
Whores are stealing our lemons.
I just don't get it. But it's funny. Anyway.
Brian Wadley, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Have an incredible 2014.
I will do my best. Hey, I we'll have to maybe Skype or something to get me in.
Yeah, we will figure that
posted.
Out.
For yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm yeah. gonna. I have to actually like use Skype now. I guess I don't. I've been using like Google Hangouts, but never Skype.
I've never hung out in Google. How is it?
Not as good as Skype after having done both.
Oh, really?
For some of this stuff, yeah, I think Skype. I hate to say that Microsoft has a good product, but it's better. I wouldn't say good, but it's better than Google Hangouts for this kind of thing, I think.
That's fair. Yeah.
I know I missed my original Gmail that wasn't subcategorized 7 ways from Sunday.
You can change it.
You can delete all the categories.
You can delete your Google account.
You can get rid of the tabs. You can get rid of those tabs and go back to classic one.
Oh.
You can do that. I've done that. That's what I do. I don't use those other tabs.
Oh, thank God. I had no idea not to look at it more. I just get mad.
And where did my mail go?
Some people prefer that. That's fine. Want to work yourself up into a frenzy? Switch back to the priority inbox. That's fine.
Well, I'm like Mark Ruffalo in the Avengers. I'm just always angry. That's my secret.
Nice. You click the mouse and you turn to the Hulk.
Ariel Rodriguez, always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
I have been Cyrus Morazavi.
Wait, you have been?
I probably will be.
In 2014, we'll find out if Cyrus remains the same.
Hey, there you go.
Stay tuned.
This has been a Rise Again production. Copyright for the last time, 2013.